If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So many women think that you pee and have a baby from the same hole. So many people think you...
That's... Oh, no. So many people think that. They really do.
You're an idiot asshole.
The Beastie Boys and Cypress Religion and Bad Religion. I'm sorry, Cypress Hill and Velvet Revolver and all the strokes and all the different bands that are on the show.
Kevin, I just want to let you know that you are wrong. Wrong. R-O-N-G, wrong.
Here's how we gonna do this, Sit back, please relax. This is not alright. Don't alright, this is how we gonna do this. Alright. Here we go. Alright, here we go, let's go.
Alright.
Here we go.
Alright, go.
Alright, here we go, let's go.
I never got the words.
And now, total fucking bullshit.
Our feature presentation.
Oh yes, Heath Ledger. Oh yes, it's like a big sausage. Oh yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy, spicy sausage. Oh, Heath?
You've been dying to play that, haven't you?
Well, I'm just saying, tragedy plus time.
Time right. Enough for you.
I mean, does this qualify as time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're weeks past time.
We got the toxicology report. I think that's it.
All right,
that's
then.
The end.
That's the end of the week?
Okay, of the morning period, yeah. Once you got that.
The problem is most of our listeners are just as bad as we are, so they start making the jokes immediately.
Yeah.
And 20 seconds after that news was on TV, people were calling up going, Heath, on the Afro line? Come on.
We didn't play it to our credit.
We tried.
We waited a week.
I mean, come on.
Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills.
All right, thank you.
Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Wow.
Morning.
Yes, go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Kevin and Bean Show, 5:32, and it's Monday, the 11th of February.
Who saw the Grammys last night?
I thought, let Bean do that. That's what I thought.
I saw it. And
you see all 3.5 hours of it?
Yes.
Did you really?
But at least the payoff was good when the album of the year came down. It was Herbie Hancock.
And the Grammy goes to... River, the Johnny Letters, Herbie Hancock. Unbelievable
is right. I was yelling, oh, come on.
I last night thought about Kevin so many times during that
Me
show.
Too.
It was as if somebody, it was like a team of scientists got together and they said, all right, here's the deal. We've got to break this guy. He's got information. There's a bomb out there and we need to figure out a way to torture him to the point where he'll give it up. What is the show we can put together that will make him the most miserable? Let's do it.
You
Let's
are so right. Every step of the way was torturing me.
I was laughing out loud. When they come on and dance to 11 minutes of Beatles music, I'm thinking Kevin is looking for a rope in his house right now. It was just like one act after another. It was designed to get under your fingernails and then to end it with that. Look. They just might as well stop having the Grammys at this point. I mean, they're so unbelievably – I wish we had Robert Hilburn on today from the LA Times. I haven't talked to him. I don't know what he thought, but he's been critical of their nomination and voting process for many years. You can't be more out of step than the Grammys have been to not capture – the zeitgeist of the year. I mean, when you've got an Amy Winehouse or a Kanye West up there for Album of the Year, albums that people loved and listened to and spoke to and
Foo
represented.
Fighters.
And Foo Fighters,
those three.
Too, yeah.
Nope.
And then you put something like Fleek and Vince Gill, which, by the way, is a good album, but isn't anywhere near what a Album of the Year Grammy is supposed to be, and the Herbie Hancock, which is fine. It's just – it's embarrassing is what it is. How did it happen?
I never know the answer to that. I don't know who votes for Herbie Hancock in 2008.
Well, I think everyone who's in that academy, I think they all vote. I think the Album of the Year is one that all 5,000 members or whatever it is get to vote for. I mean, is it just other ones were too edgy or canceled each other out? Or maybe there were just nobody listened to the records and they just saw there were a lot of names on this one of people that they liked? You know, because this is – it's one of those star-studded, you know, Norah Jones is on it and a bunch of other people are on it that the Grammy voters seem to like. So maybe they just checked it because it looked good on paper. But they certainly didn't live with these records.
Here's what I think they should do. I think they should take everyone who voted for that, kick them out. Next year, they can no longer vote for Album of the Year.
Good enough. I'm with you, Kevin.
I couldn't believe it. And that was after that 3.5 hours of torture.
It shouldn't even have been in that. I mean, look, no disrespect to Mr. Hancock, who's a good artist.
I'd like to disrespect
jazz music. But there were so many other albums that would have made much more sense. I mean, like the White Stripes album, the Bruce Springsteen album. I mean, there were a lot of great albums last year that would have made a lot more sense to be eligible for Album of the Year or nominated for Album of the Year. They just weren't there.
Yeah.
It was look, there were some high points. There were some things on the show that were great last night.
But not very many.
You could have made a phenomenal half-hour show.
And it went 3.5.
3.5. Lisa, 3.5 hours.
I did TiVo it in case there were things you told me that I should check out. But...
There are some. There are some.
No.
Come on. Are you kidding me? Beyonce and Tina Turner? Are you kidding me? That was fantastic.
She was – yeah, they were really good. But the problem
really
is –
Really good.
Tina Turner is
– 68.
68? Okay.
Yeah.
She's 68 years old.
Yeah.
She looks unbelievable for 68.
Right. You look at her and you say, wow, she looks unbelievable. But then what they do to this poor woman is bring Beyonce, maybe the most beautiful woman in the world, down to stand right next to her. Now Tina Turner looks like ass.
Yeah, she's dog food all the time.
You go, wow, hey, she's looking pretty good for 60. Oh, man.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Wow, she's, that's not what you want to do.
Oh, no. That's mean.
Don't bring in Beyonce to sing right next to you with a tiny little mini skirt. Now she just looks like she's 1,000.
By the way, I've been saying for years how over white chicks I am. You guys have heard me say that. I'm totally done with white chicks.
Well, that's good because they're done with you as well.
I know they are. I've noticed that. Last night, the 1-2-3 punch of Alicia Keys, Beyonce, and Rihanna was just like three of the most beautiful women in the world in the same place at the same time, all of whom were phenomenal last night, all of whom looked great, sounded great, and I need to own them.
You need to own them?
I'm sorry, what?
Wow.
Not like that.
Well, what are you talking about then?
And it's Black History Month, by the way.
Not like that at all.
Well, like what then?
Mr. Insensitive?
Like chaining them up in the basement.
Oh,
like
that's
they're
better.
My property. That's what I'm saying.
Pretty sure that's what we thought you meant.
we have to delete this part.
I love them so. That's all I'm saying. So, white women, I'm just over you. Sorry.
Herbie Hancock.
Well, we don't have time now because we have a very full show, but later we need to squeeze in a discussion because I don't know what was going on with Amy Winehouse, but that looked like you were watching somebody with the bends. I mean, that was – I couldn't tell if she was still stoned or if she was just going through withdrawal on stage while she tried to sing and talk. But
that was one reason I T-voted. See that.
Believe me, the Grammy people knew that as they teased it for 3 hours. And don't forget, Amy Winehouse coming up live from London. Believe me, they put that near the end of the show, Lisa.
Yeah. I'm going to say she is such a good drug user and has been doing it so long that it's definitely not being high because she's pretty good at being high. She would have to be coming down or withdrawing from the drugs to look that kind of wretched, you know?
She was unsteady, wasn't she, Mike?
Yeah.
Just a bit.
I mean, she could barely stand. She was, I mean, it seemed like it was an effort to get the words out. I mean, it wasn't a terrible performance, but you could tell she wasn't in a groove. She wasn't comfortable by any stretch of the imagination. Every word was so labored.
The first thing that came into my head was, this is a woman who her number one priority right now is not singing the song.
Yeah.
It's getting through the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could see that on her face.
Staying alive till you go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Which was, by the way, my poor name in a former life.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We are going to give you some highlights of the Grammys.
Good.
Like there are any.
Save us some time.
I kept thinking last night, can you imagine to myself being there and being the announcer for this BS?
Yes.
Okay, here are the Beatles. We couldn't get Paul.
Bullet.
We couldn't get Paul McCartney, but we've got that drummer guy. Come on.
They made a lot of interesting choices, by the way, with the people that they brought out. First of all, I hate when all networks bring out stars from their shows that have nothing to do with the show. Here's a chick you've never heard of on a show called Without a Trace to present a Grammy. I mean, what is that?
It's a CBS show. That's how they do it.
Give it to some. Here's Joe Mantegna to bring on the next act. I mean, there are plenty of musicians out there that would benefit from being on the Grammys. Give it to them.
Yeah.
And then freaking Carlos Mencia. Don't get me started on him. How do you have him come out to do his Mexican political chunk on
that
the Grammys?
That wasn't Carlos Mencia. That was
David King of Mexico.
You know, the other dude, wasn't it?
Oh, George Lopez.
George Lopez.
Same thing. That's all they got. It's the same thing. That's all they got is, hey, you forgot, guys. I'm here, and I'm Mexican. You know what I mean? That's all they do.
All
right. No point of that.
I agree. So we'll give you some highlights of that coming up. Plus, we're going to talk to one of the My Grammy Moment winners that was playing with the Foo Fighters.
Oh, right.
Coming up this morning. I'm not sure which one she is. Bean, are we talking to the hot winner or the other one?
I could be wrong. We'll have to check with Alex. I don't think we're talking to any of those three who competed for that spot. I think we're talking to somebody who was in the orchestra.
Oh, I see.
Was already seated and in the orchestra ready to play before they had that
contest. Okay, I got you. And also, we'll make the announcement for K-Rock's World Tour 2008, destination number 6, I want to say, at 7:15. We're going to tell you about a live show that you should go to.
Okay.
So next time somebody says, I don't know, what do you want to do? We've got an option for you. So that's coming up this morning as well. And more tickets to our singles party. We're having a singles party on Thursday night. It's Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rock singles party. We got more tickets for you coming up. Herbie Hancock. Seriously.
No kidding.
Don't knock the cock, man.
What a joke. Wow. Herbie Hancock.
Herbie Hancock is the man.
Whatever.
I was going, woo, last night, woo, having a big party at my house.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
Joke.
It's the day after the Grammys. There's some very disappointed viewers in the room here. That's what's going on.
So when talking about the Grammys, Bean said, so many times while I was watching the Grammys, I thought of Kevin. And Kevin said, me too.
Yeah.
That's what Kevin said this morning. Kevin was sitting here watching, boy, that guy Kevin on that radio show, he must be going nuts right now.
Who got a little sad when the show started, though, and you realized Kevin wasn't going to be doing the announcing?
Not me.
And the person who was doing it, you could hear her. She cut through. She pronounced everything right.
She sounded great, didn't she?
Oh, so boring. Oh, I hated that. give me back my Kevin for next year. That's
coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance.
That's
to vote for Africa Miranda,
right.
Send the number one. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number one.
Yeah. None of that last
time. I thought so often of Kevin. Me too.
Me too.
Said Kevin.
Is it true that Gerald LaVert won a Grammy last night?
He did.
They should give him all the Grammys. Gerald LaVert's the best.
There were some weird Grammys, by the way. If you read the crawl along the bottom of the screen, some of the people who won Grammys last night, like, I don't know, Barack Obama. I mean, some of the names just jump out at you as, huh?
Did he?
Best spoken word album.
Yep, he sure did.
The Audacity of Hope by Barack Obama.
How about that?
Yeah.
He had a good weekend. Monday morning, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Let's do a real quick recap of some of the winners in the major categories in last night's Grammy Awards. As Kevin is happy to mention, Album of the Year went to Herbie Hancock.
Please.
River, the Joni Letters.
It's absurd.
Based on the works of Joni Mitchell, of course. Record of the Year went to Rehab, Amy Winehouse, who just looked fit as a fiddle last night.
Couldn't be healthier.
Song of the Year, also Rehab, Amy Winehouse. Best New Artist, Amy Winehouse. Best Pop Vocal Performance, Amy Winehouse. Best Pop Vocal Album, Amy Winehouse.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Only in show business can a person who's just a wreck of a drug addict have awards and rewards heaped upon them.
Yeah. Mm.
If you were a guy who worked on a conveyor belt in a factory making widgets,
right,
and you were drunk and loaded and high all the time, they would not give you Employee of the Month. They would give you a kick in the ass and it's shown the door.
Yeah, that's true.
God bless show business.
By the way, the show was 3.5 hours long. Imagine how long it would have been if Amy Winehouse would have been allowed to attend and get up and give speeches for each of those wins.
Yeah, but great.
Good boy.
Would have made it interesting.
Very entertaining. Best Male Pop Vocal Performance, Justin Timberlake. Best Pop Duo or Group, Maroon 5.
What?
Makes me wonder. Yeah. Their song.
Makes me wonder, too.
Kevin was happy because he always asks us to give love to Maroon. You always tell us.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
You're always saying that. Best Solo Rock Vocal Performance went to The Boss, Bruce Springsteen for Radio Nowhere. Best Rock Performance Group or Duo, Iggy Thump, The White Stripes. Best rock song was also Springsteen's Radio Nowhere. Foo's finally got a little taste, a little something-something when it came to best rock album. Echo, Silence, Patience, and Grace, they got the award for that.
That's the big one, at least.
That's the big one. So congratulations to those guys. And to Chaka Khan, of course, picking up her award. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Fool's Gold,
no!
Indeed.
Oh, no.
Fool's Gold, indeed. All the fools that went to this movie brought in a lot of gold for Matthew McConaughey and that broad he works with sometimes.
How much did he make?
$22 million.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Now they'll make another.
Of course they will.
You tried to warn them on Friday that this was bad for white people and bad for America.
Number two. Welcome home, Roscoe Jenkins.
What's that?
That's Martin Lawrence and Cedric the Entertainer and Monique.
Sure.
In a crazy out-of-the-water fish story about a Hollywood showbiz guy who goes home to his rural southern roots. And boy, they sure eat a lot of chicken. Yay! They don't cotton to his big city ways.
No, they don't.
They're going to take him down a peg or two, Roscoe Jenkins.
Ralph pointed out in the Movie Beat on Friday, Kevin, that if he had written a movie and named his lead black character Roscoe Jenkins, they would have run him out of town.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Then he got whole scenes like, I'm eating collard greens, and oh, I sure do love this fried chicken. That's it. Oh, if I wrote that, they'd run me out on a rail.
That's true. They should.
I said to black people, this movie is not your friend. You don't have to go just because black people are in it. Go see Great Debaters with Denzel instead.
Yep.
An excellent movie and equally black.
That's right.
Loaded with black folks.
And why does this delight the Negro?
$17 million.
So one and two, good.
Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus concert movie, number three.
This is the golden age of cinema, isn't it?
I am handing in my letter of resignation to show business today.
Can you do that?
I'm not sure. I got to talk to the president of show business and see if he'll accept my resignation. I mean, I'm barely in the industry as it is, but I'm still hoping he will take my letter of resignation as a protest. Number four, The Eye, starring powerhouse actress Jessica Alba.
Wow.
Finally, we have some return to sanity at number five, Juno.
Juno?
Nice, Lisa.
I take it back regarding the return to sanity. I forgot Lisa does that. Number six, 27 Dresses.
Oh, my God.
There are Oscar-nominated movies out there, right?
Don't get me started. The Bucket List, number seven. Rambo, number eight. Meet the Spartans, number nine. And at number 10, There Will Be Blood.
I drink your milkshake.
No, sorry, Mr. Plainview, you're not drinking anybody's milkshake this week. You're number 10.
So sad.
I went to see that one yesterday, There Will Be Blood, and I've never seen the theater that I went to more empty. There was no one at any movie. I don't know why. Maybe there's just nothing.
The entire Cineplex was empty? That's weird.
It was just a sunny day. It's the first sunny day.
No one there. I can park right up close. Hey, what is this? A holla? What's going on?
Yeah.
But, I saw the first 3.5 hours of There Will Be Blood. I got to go back and catch the part two and three.
What did you think of that performance by Daniel Day-Lewis?
Amazing. Didn't need to see him walking for an hour and a half. They could have cut a little of that out.
Well, what are you talking about?
All of the stuff where nothing's happening, which is about at least an hour and a half.
Short attention span over there. Yeah.
He was amazing in the scenes that he acted, you know, a lot. But he's walking and they show him brushing his teeth and then he's putting himself to bed and then he's sleeping. They show 8 hours of sleep. I don't need that. Don't need that.
Wow. I didn't get Ritalin. A sense that it lagged at all when I saw it.
Mm-mm. Kevin needs some Ritalin.
What about the 30 minutes of him digging with a spoon at the beginning of the movie? What about
that was good. That was good. They could have stretched that out a little longer.
Wow, Navy, you should go see Fool's Gold, man. I heard that moves right along. I heard that just jam-packed with action and hilarious quips.
Did you laugh out loud and I drink your milkshake?
I did.
You had to, right?
I have a milkshake and you have a milkshake. And I have a long straw. What the hell?
He was explaining.
Not bad. That wasn't
I
bad.
Drink your milkshake.
Wow, Kevin has another voice.
Awesome.
We've got a new clip.
Yep. That was worth it right there.
Also in movie news, this weekend, The Hottie and the Naughty, the new Paris Hilton movie, opened.
What?
It only opened on 111 screens.
Is she the naughty?
She is the hottie.
Oh, I'm out.
The naughty is her best friend who she's trying to hook up with a boy. She will not date until she can find a boyfriend for her naughty friend.
Okay.
This is f***ing retarded.
At 111 screens this weekend, the movie made $76 at each location on average.
Awesome.
It means like about 10 people per theater paid to see Paris Hilton, who also serves as producer.
What? Dude.
Wow. Speaking of movies, I've got much better news for you. Really, really good news. Spectacular news.
Okay.
I've got passes to the red carpet world premiere of a movie I like to call Semi-Pro.
Yes.
Why do you like to call it that, Russ?
Because that's what they called it. That's the title of the film.
That is the name.
It's going to be next Tuesday the 19th at the Mad Chinese Theater in Hollywood. I will be hosting the red carpet festivities. And I've already seen this movie. And I'm telling you, there are more laughs in the first 5 minutes of this film than there are in most complete movie comedies.
Fantastic.
It's freaking hilarious. The cast is outstanding. You got Will Ferrell. You've got Woody Harrelson. You got Maura Tierney. You've got Andre 3000 from Outkast. You've got Dave Koechner. It's just a hilarious group of very, very funny people. And I guarantee you, you will laugh out loud at this movie. If you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere, this is the cool one. Will be there. All the stars of the movie will be walking the red carpet. You'll get to hang out and see all of them. And, of course, see the movie. If you'd like to go, tell me the name of the sketch comedy group Will Ferrell was in when he got plucked from it to go work on Saturday Night Live. What sketch comedy group was Will Ferrell working in? So, you Will Ferrell fans, call now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller with the correct answer gets a pair of tickets to go see the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro, and I'll be giving them out all day long, all week long, actually. So, if you don't win today, don't despair. There's more to come. Last night, I turned to The Insider, and I saw TV talk show host goes into rehab. Lara, it's me.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, Pat O'Brien has checked into rehab again. E! Online reports that The Insider released the following statement saying, O'Brien and his doctors felt this is the best course for maintaining his sobriety.
Was there a slip-up or an incident or something that we know of, or is it just he's heading that off before it happens?
No, he just wants to go in for a heck of it. I think he just wants to go in and visit some old friends.
It's one thing to feel bad. It's another thing to have had some embarrassing incident that forces you into rehab. I just wondered which way.
I think the slip-up is when you start drinking again. That's the slip-up.
But I'm guessing there was something. There usually seems to be, like, this is a response to an incident.
Is it a preemptive strike, you think?
No,
I haven't heard about a response, an incident, rather.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was one. That's all I'm saying. Maybe he's trying to get off the fat people and the anorexic chicks. Maybe he's addicted to them.
He's tired of talking about them on that show. I know I would be.
Now the 500-pound man. Oh, crap. Give me a drink.
No one would blame him.
We have, like, Chris Berman footage of him just bemoaning the fact he's working on that show. So get well soon, Pat. Or don't. Hayden Panettiere is... is just the one.
Yeah.
She's just the one.
Okay.
She is not only beautiful and talented, but she's also conscientious. You know, she has the Save the Whales cause that's very near and dear to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells Us Weekly magazine that she is waiting until she hears back from the two Democratic presidential contenders about who is going to take an interest in this campaign before she decides who she's going to vote for.
Mm. So, she's a one-issue voter? Is that what
pretty
we're
much,
learning
yeah.
here?
So she calls Barack Obama. And he says, okay, let's sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
I want to be Barack Obama.
No kidding.
I got to run for president now because chicks like Hayden Panettiere call you up and say, hey, can we have lunch so we talk about my issue? Yes.
On the way to the lunch, he's going to be asking his assistants, what are we talking about?
I would carry a whale on my back.
I know.
If I could have lunch with her, I would bring her a whale. Here, I saved one. Look at me.
I don't think
Look
she
at
wants
this.
Them.
Look, I just saved one. This one was crossing the street. It was going to get hit by a bus.
Everybody wants the president's ear for a minute. I think you could get a meeting with any hot chick in the world if you're the president.
If I was the president, my ear is not the body part I'd be giving her.
Right? Well, you get into trouble there, wouldn't you?
Hillary Clinton has yet to get back to Ms. Panettiere, so we'll have to wait and see what her response is.
She's not her type of chick.
Oh, really? Yeah, seen the pantsuits?
A lot more butch.
We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. As a matter of fact, we have Chuck, who is calling from Chatsworth. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. How are you?
Chuck, what comedy group was Will Ferrell in before he went to Saturday Night Live?
The Groundlings.
The Groundlings, indeed. Very funny people over there in Melrose. If you ever get a chance, if you ever have a free weekend and you're looking for something different to do, go check out a Groundling show. They're very funny over there. Congratulations. You won a pair of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro. Is it Semi-Pro or is it Semi-Pro? How are we pronouncing it?
I think either way
would be acceptable.
Yeah.
It's going to be Tuesday, the 19th, at Man's Chinese Theater. Hold on, we'll give you all the details, Chuck. Congratulations. I will have more tickets to give away the rest of the day and the week. And then you'll see me there on the red carpet say things like, Will Ferrell, everybody! Put your hands together for Will Ferrell! Do a lot of that on the red carpet.
What do you think the people will think of him?
The people love him! I don't know why you have to do the red carpet. You have to say, ladies and gentlemen, then you say the name, and then say everybody.
You have to. That's just how
you... Who's coming now?
It's the code.
Oh, look, it's Will Arnett. Will Arnett, everybody. Will Arnett. Got to do it. And good news, finally, about the Writers Guild of America strike.
Over?
Yes. It is all but over. It's very close to being over.
Excellent.
They have cut a deal with the producers. Now it's just a matter of the rank and file of the union to vote on it. And then everybody should be back to work sometime this week.
Excellent.
I know a lot of the showrunners are going in today to start prepping scripts and projects and get production rolling again. They've got a 48-hour period they're letting the members vote over. And then once the vote is tabulated, they'll all go back to
work. So we won't know the vote until tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow. So, but that is good news. Looks like they got a little something. I don't think they got everything they wanted, but it will secure them a cut of internet revenues by all accounts. So
excellent.
They're getting a little taste. They'll get a little sip of the milkshake. They won't drink the whole milkshake, but they will get a sip, which is something. Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, what an assful.
Really?
Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child. 26 years old today. Brandy is 28 years old today. Our pal Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park is 30 years old today. Jennifer Aniston of Friends is 38. Sheryl Crow, singer-songwriter, is 45 years old
today. What do you guys think?
I think she's attractive.
Attractive or bell-worthy?
I don't know I'd give the bell there.
Wow.
Maybe a tepid bell, Bean. Just a... Yeah, there you go.
How about Bobby Boris Pickett?
Oh, that's sad.
He would have been 68 today, but he died last year.
After doing that climate mash.
I thought he was just working in the lab late that night.
Oh.
Burt Reynolds is 72 years old today.
Yeah.
Tina Louise, who played Ginger on Gilligan's Island, is 75. Oh, take it back. Is that the 60s bell or
the retroactive
2008 bell?
Right.
She's 74. An actor, there we go. Actor Leslie Nielsen. Oh. You love him. You love him in the Airplane movies. You loved him in the Naked Gun movies. You loved him when we interviewed him and asked him about that Saw parody he was doing in Scary Movie 17 or whatever one he was in.
Yeah. You guys spoof War of the Worlds, you spoof The Grudge, The Village, Saw, Million Dollar Baby. How many of those movies have you seen?
How about the basketball game?
Remind me about the basketball game. I forget.
Am I talking about the... Who am I talking to?
It's Kevin.
I do police work. You can't be found.
That's correct, yes.
Where are you? You're in Dallas, right?
We're in Dallas, yes. Yes, we are.
What?
Yeah, that's not not how you wanted the interview to go.
Oh, Leslie.
Really?
I think Leslie should be rooming with Pat O'Brien, my guess.
Or Heath Ledger.
He's 80.
What? I'm just saying.
You're wishing the guy was
dead? No, of course not. That's not what I meant.
Wow, happy Monday. Leslie Nielsen's 82 years old today, and Kevin wishes
how
he was
dare
dead.
You? I love him.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Psycho Mike is in here, along with Dave, the King of Mexico, two guys who work hard behind the scenes here on the show. And they were out there with the K-Rock microphones a few days ago ahead of the Grammys. It's something called the Grammy Roundtable. And this is what, guys, where they bring people involved in the Grammys by for you to do interviews to kind of promote the show. Is that the deal?
Let's not throw the word involved around too loosely.
Random people who just want to hang out at the Grammys backstage, you know.
And it's they. There's
Did they have the nominees or
a couple?
Some.
Herbie Hancock was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knew he'd win album?
Yeah, exactly.
Chingy came by.
Chingy.
It's
funny because everybody saw Herbie Hancock and thought, dude, that guy shouldn't even be nominated in that category. I'm not even going to waste my time talking to him.
Man, I miss Louis Gossett Jr. though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tough. What was? Why would he have been there?
I don't know.
You see, the good thing about the Grammy people is they don't waste time giving us, you know, hacks like, you know, Dave Grohl or Bob Dylan. They give us the A-listers like Brooke Hogan and Louis Gossett Jr., stuff
Look,
like that.
Here's DJ Fally
here's
Fally,
the thing,
you know.
Here's the thing about this. Bean and I have been to 100 of these. We've also been to the MTV, you know, roundtables.
Right.
And what happens is you all the people who are dying to be there to get the publicity are not the people you want.
Right.
So they come up to you all day long and say, how about Brooke Hogan? And you go, man, not so. And then you say, hey, what about Dave Grohl? Is he going to be here? Those people, the people that you really want. Not that interested in showing up.
Yeah. But so, at least Dave and I spent 20 minutes talking to the people from TurboTax to please the Grammy heads.
What?
Oh, serious?
That's another thing, by the way, that they do with these roundtables is they come up and they go, look, guys, I know you don't want to do this, but as a favor to us, would you please?
Exactly. Like,
just so somebody will interview them and then you end up talking taxes.
Look, we'll bring the plain white tees over for you right now if you talk to a guy who has a GM dealership here in Southern California. So Dave and I, we spent 2 days there, and you know, we tried to filter it down to some of the people we thought you'd be interested in, and of course the Plain White Tees were nominated for fun, great whoop-de-doo rip and shred song of the year, whatever they are.
Right.
And so they came in and sat down. They're really cool guys, and I had asked them about the fact that you know, the real Delilah was, I guess, you know, the lead singer's date to the Grammys.
Brought her, yeah.
This is
Yes, Pete.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I saw them on the red carpet yesterday. I guess this is something. I don't know if this is on the tape. This is something they've planned a long, long time for years. The goal was that he was gonna write the song for her and then take her to the Grammys. And I guess yesterday was the day it finally happened.
This is a long fulfilled promise. One of the promises Tom kept, actually.
Yeah.
I thought that dumb bitch like denied you for like years.
She did. Wait, you know, denied. Yeah, over and over.
Well, she had a boyfriend, and I think she still has the same boyfriend. So.
Is the same dude?
I think.
Yeah,
so.
And now that you're a world famous music artist, she decided to just come around.
Well,
I mean, I'm the one to date with you now that I can go to the Grammys with you.
Well, the truth is,
I'm
I don't even
a filthy gold digging whore.
I still don't even think it's a date, unfortunately.
You, as a Grammy nominated artist,
okay,
bring a girl to the Grammys as your date, and do not have sex with her. You should kill yourself.
Wow,
you are worthless.
Tom will not be.
I should have. I should have picked somebody else, I think, to be my date.
Am I right, though?
If you can't, I think
get
you're
some,
right.
If you can't get someone on the first date, if you take her to the Grammys where you're nominated.
She's the date for you at the Grammys. That comes with the expectation of having sex.
Come on.
Yeah.
You should see how hot this Delilah is,
really?
By the way. I saw her on the red carpet. Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
You understand the song when you see her. You know?
Okay. Yes, you do.
All right. So, Hey There, Delilah's nominated for stuff. And I'm asking you about the nomination. And look what comes up.
I was actually surprised that Hey There, Delilah got the nod and not Hey There, Vagina.
That was my next question.
Exactly. I thought for sure that was going to win the Grammy.
But you know, we are not allowed to play or even talk about that song.
I know, I know.
It was one of terrible. That was one of our favorite parodies.
It was an homage to you, and I really think that I did a good job with it.
You nailed it.
Yeah, we did.
All I'm asking is, now that we cannot play that on our radio station, we cannot even mention it.
Which sucks.
Someday, somehow, somewhere, collaboration.
Deal.
Deal?
Deal.
Handshake on it. I got witnesses. Yeah.
Done deal. Duet.
Wow. It's working
that?
Deals.
I thought he was going to ask them to sing it, which would have been funny.
No.
He's got to be part of it.
Yeah. I wanted to include myself somehow.
Yeah.
Mike does figure out a way to turn all conversations about other people toward him.
Well, Dave the King
of
Mexico.
I shred on the guitar, so let me play with Play My Keys.
Dave the King of Mexico was with me, and God bless his heart. I really couldn't have done any of this without him because he's sitting there researching and helping me out, get background on all the guests and stuff. But not so much on the microphone. Dave doesn't help out.
Didn't hear much there.
Yeah. Well, not the best color guy.
You think?
Yeah, dude, my best question was cut out, you know, so it's
all right. And,
was it your only question?
At least when he does chime in, he's on point. He gives us the gold. Listen
well,
to me talking to Wolf from American Gladiators.
You are Mr. Hollywood Yates, but
yes.
People who are fans of American Gladiator would probably know you better as
Wolf.
See, Dave can't say the word wolf. It's not his mouth won't do it. He has to say woof.
He was on point too. I was like, Dave, woof.
I was like a dog. It sucks.
So China comes up.
And, China, who was on Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah, and she loves the press and stuff. And you can officially call her China now. We found that out. It's not China Doll.
Oh, really?
She got the copyrights to China.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And she's real buffed out. And of course, I'm into physical fitness. So I wanted to
you
ask.
You know what? We need to take a break.
We do?
Yeah, we need to take a break.
Okay.
So we'll take a break and we'll come back with China and Mike talking about her being buff. And just a
good news, Kevin. You don't have to worry about Herbie Hancock anymore. Aretha Franklin just ate him. I'm watching the Grammy post show. So
Aretha Franklin from last night's Grammys, 600 pounds.
She cannot stand on her own. Did you notice they were holding her up? It was kind of sad.
She
is so going to be on The Insider soon.
Aww,
yeah, no
sad.
Kidding.
All right. We're talking to Psycho Mike and Dave. We're at the Grammy Roundtable. This was this past Thursday and Friday before the Grammys, where they bring in all kinds of different guests and have you guys interview them. And we're up to China.
So China comes by, and obviously she's pretty yoked out. She's pretty swole.
Yeah.
And I like hitting the gym. So
sure.
I wanted to talk to her about physical fitness. But I understand most things about physical fitness. What I don't understand is how to get the speed bag in your panties that she's developed. So I wanted to just cut right to the chase.
You're a very physically strong woman. Do you have a strong vagina? Is there things you can do to strengthen your vagina?
I do. Of course, I've been changing my physique over the last 8 years. Spinning and dancing and
these things affect
the
labia?
I'm doing the Kegel exercises. There's some fantastic vaginal exercises on the spin bike. I'm good from head to toe.
Okay, I've got some girls that I need to fix up downstairs, and I want to ask an expert.
Yes, okay. Well, designer vagina somewhere.
I was going to say, how about a show on Discovery Health, vaginal cross training with China?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Beaver bodybuilding with China.
How to get a penis with China.
Yeah.
Hers is bigger than yours, Mike. You're aware of that.
It's
right?
Unbelievable what she's working with downstairs. So I wanted to know what she does to get so swole.
Sure.
Dr. Drew, you know, everybody loves him.
Sure. He's the best.
You know, we know him pretty well. He comes by and he's talking to us. We do this interview, and Brigitte Nielsen comes and just sits down with him and starts talking to us too, like in the middle of our interview.
Okay.
So we get to talking about celebrity rehab and things like that, and he starts to get a little bit upset when we bring up the American Idol chick that's on his show.
Okay.
This interview takes a real quick turn for the awesome.
Okay.
And we may have lined up our celebrity boxing match that we've been looking to line up.
Really?
For a long time.
I want to smack TMZ. They should really be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah. How sad. People
she was sick.
How
Do you
sad
think you could take Harvey?
How difficult it is.
You
could
take
Harvey.
No
on.
Problem.
You're pretty yoked out.
No problem.
But I saw Harvey at Venice Gold. He's pretty beefed up for like a smaller guy.
Done.
All right.
I'm getting a little tired of the TMZ stuff early, yeah.
Anyway, from
it's on. It's on. You know how many times we're going to play that tape for Harvey? It's on.
You should have seen You should have seen Drew. He was like flexing and like, he's done, done. He
what
was,
the
he
hell?
Was, he was pumped.
Drew's losing it.
We can line it up.
I'm gonna fight him.
He was pumped.
That's awesome.
Flavor Flav sits down.
Yes.
That's a gold mine.
That is. You can talk to Flavor Flav forever.
I really could. I told him that. I said, listen, I could talk to you all day. I know we only got like 2 or 3 minutes. So I had to like trim the fat as best I could. So I went right in with the ladies on Flavor of Love and his success rate with them.
What percentage would you say of the girls that are on the Flavor of Love do you bang?
Honestly, to tell you the truth, none of them.
Really?
Yeah, man, because you know, I don't bang nothing, man, until I get to know it first. And, you know, usually around the first week, 2 weeks, you know, I don't know the girls like that for me to be putting myself like that, you know what I mean? So
immediately in my head,
BS,
I go, wait a second. You're a 45-year-old grandfather of 20.
Right?
That's never been married.
Right.
And you're talking about getting to know a woman before you
he doesn't have sex with them.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, this guy's full of S.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, let's take another crack at a good question. And I asked him about, you know, Public Enemy and Chuck D, who are a very thoughtful band, very politically active. What do they feel about him doing, kind of frivolous television?
What does Chuck think about you being involved in reality TV, which in many people's eyes can be kind of frivolous?
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, you know, Chuck is proud of the new direction that I'm taking right now. And also, he's one of the people that talked me into coming into this direction.
No.
Chuck D talked him into doing Flavor of Love?
No.
No.
That doesn't seem likely.
No way.
Never.
No.
All right. So I figured, look, this guy's not going to give us anything good. I'm going to ask him something that I've been curious about for a long time, and hopefully he can help me with this that has nothing to do with him or his persona, so that maybe it's easier for him to be a little bit more honest.
Can a white man effectively use the N-word?
I don't see why not. I see a lot of them do it.
Okay, it's good to know. Good to know.
Not saying that it's right for them to do it. I mean, put it this way. It has different rings to it.
If it's
used in the right context, it's okay.
Is it the A at the end instead of the ER?
There's a lot of people that put the ER on the end of it, but still say it in good context.
It's all the motion of the ocean.
It's all in the motion of the ocean.
Okay, I don't know. I don't understand. What are we supposed to? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time.
All right. Flavor Flav says it's okay.
If we do and they yell at us, we got that tape to go as our backup.
It's all in the motion of the ocean. So as we discussed earlier, Dave not really helping out with the interview process. He's helping with
the research. I haven't heard much Dave on the tape so far.
Right. I'll cut out.
And I'm not cutting this out.
It's all the editing.
There is no Dave.
Okay.
Until Paramore shows up.
Oh, how about that?
Walter Cronkite, the King of Mexico, shows up, and he's all ready to interview. Oh, how are your tour dates doing? Oh, nice to see you. Yes, yes. Can I ask you about your past and future?
He's obsessed with Haley. That's true.
Was Dave wearing the fingerless gloves at the Grammy Roundtable?
Oh, well, why don't you listen to this tape of them sitting down at the table?
Good to see you guys, man.
Yeah.
Are those gloves again?
What do you mean, again? They're always with me.
You mean these?
Yes.
Don't gloves?
Touch them, dude.
These have
sacred
power.
Gloves.
They're actually going into retirement soon, so
Just
to let you know, because it's getting a little warm now. And
That's all right. It's good.
Yeah. How was your trip to the UK?
Oh, man. Well, it's still basically still going on.
Wow. Kicking off the interview, Dave the King of Mexico.
Hasn't said a word the whole time till now.
Hello, you Haley. Know. How are you? Tell me about your show in Leeds last night.
he's pushing Mike away by the face.
The hell?
Guys, I think it's officially time for us to stop making fun of Dave the King of Mexico and his game.
Don't you even say it.
I think...
He didn't get Haley. Do not tell me that!
I'm just saying the no-game might work better than we think.
The bottom line is, Dave and I, we love you a lot.
Uh-huh.
And one of us is going to have you eventually.
You got to pick one of us.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm the guy with the gloves and the Spice Girl shirt. That's
but
what
I'm far better looking.
Oh,
true.
My gosh.
But,
how can I do this? You know that my plan was that the next time I actually saw you guys in person and the next time we came into the studio, you guys were talking about how I needed to one-up Gwen because she used to cook for you guys.
Yeah.
But,
well, I could think of a couple things you could do to one-up her.
I would... I was going to cook you guys something awesome, but I suck at cooking, so I apologize.
Oh, well, right. Let's opt for sexual favors then, if that's cool.
I'm going to say that I'm going to go on that note.
All right, listen, look, guns to your head. Who is it, me or Dave?
The guy that's not talking about sexual favors.
Yeah.
Attitude
gets
the no-game game works again.
Thank you.
Oh, these are tugging her.
No.
Oh.
Now we're never going to be able to deal with
you're him. Welcome in the studio anytime. Come back. Oh, thank you so much. And they're talking and lovey-dovey.
Oh,
hanging
no.
out, taking pictures, you know.
Who could have predicted the King of Mexico is freaking scoring everywhere he goes?
And the first thing she said when she sat down, are those the gloves?
Oh.
Well, Mike makes it sort of easy by being so foul and repulsive, too, by the way. I mean, Dave almost wins just by being the quiet guy who's
being,
not obnoxious.
She loves me. Who's not that guy? Okay, then I'll choose him.
Exactly. I don't do the best job of counterbalancing the no-game game.
You think? One of the best movies ever came out in 1992. It was called Point Break, and it starred both Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Are you kidding me? That's a home run right there. I think it won Best Picture 3 years in a row at the Oscars.
I think you're right about that. Director and both guys won Best Actor, too.
That's correct, yes.
And we're happy to say that Point Break lives more than just at the DVD store. Point Break, ladies and gentlemen, is on stage in downtown L.A., and we brought on the producer for you right now, George Spielvogel, to tell us all about Point Break Live. Good morning, George.
Hey, how you guys doing? How you doing?
we're very good, Pappas.
Now, yeah. Point Break's been around. I guess it's played in other parts of the country before it came here, and it's just a smash wherever it goes, right?
Yeah, we lucked out. You know, we just keep riding the wave and splashing the audience in the meantime, you know?
Now, while, you know, people all sit around and they say, oh, what should we do tonight? I don't know. And you got pretty much the same options. You go out to eat, you go to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty much out.
Shopping, maybe.
Pretty much out. But this sounds funny. Tell us about the lead character in this show.
Okay, well, I'm going to try not to knock Keanu Reeves.
Please knock.
What we say is that any audience member can play him.
Right.
We put the whole show together. You know, we got a Bodie. I'm Pappas. But we don't have a Johnny Utah. So we say, you know, who from the audience wants to play Johnny Utah? So we get anywhere from 3 to 10 people up there for the audition, quote-unquote.
Now, this is every single show, right?
That's right, okay. Every show. We have a different person. Sometimes they stutter. Sometimes they don't speak English. Sometimes it's a lady.
And they're all better than Keanu was in that movie.
you know, and they all get a laugh. It's great. I mean, one time we had a guy that didn't even speak English. He's like, please, don't pick me. I don't speak English.
Yes.
The crowd flipped out. They were like, that's the guy. That's the guy.
Now, how do they know the lines? You have a screen that they can see?
We've got a very cute cue card girl.
Okay.
And she stands beside him the whole time. So any cue he's got, she comes out with a card, and he says it. And he says it so doe-eyed, you know, just like a deer caught in the headlights.
Sure.
Just like
Keanu.
That's right. Thank you.
Now, George, isn't this a slightly difficult movie to adapt for the stage just because it is an action movie and there is a lot of, you know, skydiving and running around and fighting and stuff like that? How do you put that all on a stage?
You know, you'd think it would be kind of hard, but gosh, we do it so low budget that it's kind of charming in the way that we skydive. I don't really want to give it away. But even the waves that we do, wow. I mean, we kind of just throw everything together with it's kind of like a garage band playing.
I like it.
You know, yeah, except we're actors making fun of the one of the best pure adrenaline rides ever.
Oh.
Hey, tell people who may be a little bit too young or haven't seen the movie in so long what the basic, like, thinnest plot line is of Point Break, because I think people will want to come see it just when they hear what it's about.
When I try to tell people what it is, I say, you remember that surf movie with Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves? They dress up like the president, and they go and rob banks, and the whole time they're surfing and they're skydiving, and he's an undercover fed, and the whole time Gary Busey's trying to get meatball sandwiches.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, of course.
Yeah, now I remember it. Yeah, it kind of rings a bell. I am an FBI agent.
That's about right.
Awesome. George, yeah, that always gets there.
Have you had any kind of reaction from anyone associated with the movie?
Oh, yeah. The actual writer came down. Peter, he loved it.
Awesome.
Actual director, Catherine Bigelow, came down, loved it. The producers. In fact, the writer loved it so much, he came back for his birthday party and bought 50 tickets.
No kidding.
Fantastic. Great idea. This Charlie O's Lounge, I guess is what it's called. It's in the downtown L.A. Alexandria Hotel, and the show plays what, every night of the week?
No, we play Saturday and Sunday at 7 o'clock, except on Oscar weekend. I don't know if we can compete with the Oscars.
Oh, how dare you? You could destroy.
Yeah, in fact, we actually won a Grammy last night. I don't know if you guys...
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really have any music in the show, but we felt like we won a Grammy.
Okay, good. That's all that matters.
Well, congratulations. Now, you have to be 21 and up. Is that because you guys serve alcohol to the crowd?
That's right. It's in a big bar. It's actually like a rock and roll venue, you know, but, you know, everybody gets drunk. Not everybody, but, you know, they're drinking. They get splashed with beer a lot. So
sure.
It's not quite like Shakespeare. You know what I mean?
No, I think I do, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Again, it's at Charlie O's Lounge in the Alexandria Hotel, downtown Los Angeles, Saturday and Sunday nights at 7. It's just $20, by the way, at theatermania.com. That's one word, theatermania.com. Boy, it sounds like fun. And, of course, pointbreaklive.com is the website, too. How long is this thing going to run? You opened up in October, and it's still going strong, but how many more weeks or months do you think you have left?
I mean, I see it's going through to the summer. I mean, you got all these surfers out here and all these actors out here. So, I mean, sometimes people get up there just to be Johnny Utah.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm hoping we just keep on riding. We're going to try to set it up in San Francisco as well. Sooner or later, you know, maybe get to Vegas. I mean, we'll do the whole Blue Man Group thing.
Is it an impossible task to try and find an actor each night the caliber of Keanu Reeves?
Wow. I wouldn't say impossible.
Right.
But we had, you know what's funny? We had a lady last night, actually, and she did well. And sometimes we get people that are, like, already loaded, so they're almost drooling on themselves. But the more this guy messes up, the funnier it is.
Sure.
Like, if he stutters a line and we make him repeat it, the audience loves it. It lets them know. It lets them know this is real. This guy was just sitting next to me, and now he's the star of the show.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Cool.
That's fantastic. All right, again, pointbreaklive.com is the site. We've been talking to the producer, George Spielvogel. Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Sounds like fun. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks. Come on down. Laugh your heinies off.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Ralph Garman is here on a Monday morning with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Sad news. This morning, we all found out that Roy Scheider, star of Jaws and French Connection, all that jazz, two-time Oscar nominee, passed away today.
Didn't know that.
He played Chief Brody, for those of you who have seen Jaws. uttered what the American Film Institute called the 35th most famous line in all of movies. He turns to Quint and says, "You're going to need a bigger boat." One of the great lines in all of show business. Passed away at the age of 75. Apparently, he died from complications of a staph infection.
That seems to be going around.
It's this super staph, by the way, is just brutal. Yeah. He was being treated for multiple myeloma over the past couple years, and they said that had something to do with it as well. But sad news. Really good actor. If you ever seen French Connection, you owe it yourself. You like cop movies. It's one of the quintessential 70s cop movies. He also did one called The Seven Ups in that same era, and that was pretty terrific, too. Good, tough guy actor. Not enough of them around, so he's passed away at the age of 75 years old. Just want to give you a heads up. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Fool's Gold. Never before has there been a more aptly named movie. A lot of fools got fooled to go see Fool's Gold. $22 million made in its debut.
Wow.
And it'll do some Valentine's Day business weekend, too.
Sure. What else are you going to see? The Hottie and the Naughty?
No. Right. Yeah. Are you kidding? Step Up 2 comes out on Valentine's Day. That's what I'm talking about.
What's wrong with
that's
you?
That's romantic.
I went to see that hilarious 4 months, 3 weeks, 2 days. Have you guys heard about that? That's that movie about the black market abortion trade in 80s Romania.
What the F is wrong with you?
Bean thinks
in Romanian, too, by the way.
What can I go see that is in a different language that will really bum me out?
No one else is interested in, that even I'm not interested in, I'm forcing myself to go so I can say I went to the Romanian abortion film.
No. Lisa will back me up. This movie has been getting rave reviews.
And yet I did not go.
In Romania?
No. Here in the United States, it's been doing real well on the art house circuit. But I went to see that, and I'm sad to report that it did not make the top 10 on your list, I guess, this weekend.
What a surprise. It's pretty much a guarantee for every movie Bean goes to.
Yeah, it's dark, unbelievably, he got intense. Beat out by Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins.
Wow.
Kind of the same theme, right?
Yeah, sure. This movie's an abortion, if that's what you mean.
I don't think that's what I meant. No.
$17 million made it number 2 at the box office this weekend. Then Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus concert tour movie in 3D. I don't know if it's in 3D or not. I just added that because it sounded right.
I think it is.
Yeah. $10 million made it number 3. Then The Eye was number 4. Juno was number 5.
Juno?
You're rushing it. I think you're rushing it. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. It could not go fast enough for me, Kevin.
Yeah, but
you think she was rushing it? I thought it took way too long.
Well, that's because if it's delivered properly, you will love it.
I see.
Yeah.
And I think you need a break. I think those syllables should be spaced out a little
bit. That's what I'm saying.
Let me try.
Wow. You know, this is a gig, and everyone's got an opinion. Just let the woman do her job.
Do it again, Mark.
What's my name?
Ralph.
Did you say Mark?
I didn't say anything. Do it again, Ralph.
Number 5. What's Juno?
Do it again, Mark.
Juno. No.
Much better.
Oh, wait, no.
Well, you kind of whipped out on the second syllable, but it was better. It's definitely better.
Moving forward, 27 Dresses was number 6. The Bucket List, number 7. Rambo came in at number 8. Meet the Spartans was number 9. And number 10 was There Will Be Blood. And there will be.
Yeah.
Kevin?
I drink your milkshake.
All right, Captain Bly.
I like it.
Yeah, what the hell? You have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a long straw that reaches to your milkshake.
Doug Kriegel.
He's going to pass out.
That's how he said it. Daniel Plainview.
That's how he said it. Me and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Hello, I'm taking a dump.
Yes. Same voice right there. Uma Thurman wants us to know that she's not pregnant. New York's Post, page 6, gossip column, dealing with the rumors that Uma's not pregnant. She's just gained some weight since she quit smoking.
She's fat?
Yeah. There's another reason smoke is good for you people, by the way. Don't quit.
Don't quit.
That's what you've been saying.
That's right. I've got some tickets to give away to a spectacular event. These don't come along very often. These are really cool to attend. If you've never been to a red carpet world premiere of a movie, they're a lot of fun. And this movie in particular, you will love. It's called Semi-Pro. The new basketball film starring Will Ferrell and Will Arnett and Woody Harrelson, Maura Tierney, Andre 3000 from Outkast. Just an amazingly funny cast. I got a chance to see this movie last week, and it is hilarious. I'm guaranteeing you, you will laugh. Will Ferrell's just on a roll, man. He can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. Semi-Pro takes place in the 70s. It's about the ABA. For those of you who don't know, there was another basketball league before the ABA teams joined the NBA, and this is takes place in the 70s. A very funny movie. It is the 19th. Tuesday, next Tuesday. I will be hosting the red carpet there outside Man Chinese Theater in Hollywood. I got a pair of passes to give away right now if you'd like to attend. I'm going to make it a little more difficult than the average just call in and win situation. Let's see. Will Ferrell, in my opinion, is sort of like the Elvis Presley of comedians. Remember how Elvis used to make a movie about like boxing, and they do another about Acapulco cliff diving, and he always seemed to have a different sport in each movie, different occupation. Well, this is Will's another one of Will's sports movies. Name me two other sports movies that Will Ferrell has made. He's made a bunch of them, so just have to name two of them. That's all you have to do.
Okay.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. 1-800-520-1067. First caller to get through with two more Will Ferrell sports movies. This one was basketball. Name two other sports. You get to win the passes to the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro. I'm telling you, we need to start a rehab pool. Forget the DUI pool. Forget the death pool. Rehab's where it's at.
True.
They're all going, yeah.
So I'd like to introduce my latest game craze that's sweeping the nation. I call it Rehab Roulette.
Celebrities, they love to party. How f***ed up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
No more bets. No more bets. Oh, insider host Pat O'Brien.
Woo. How about that?
Congratulations, Pat. You're our big winner today. Pat O'Brien has checked into rehab again. E! Online says that the insider has released a statement saying Pat O'Brien and his doctors felt this is the best course for maintaining his sobriety. Not drinking, apparently, the best course to remain sober. Hmm. That coming from the insider. Once again, they've broken the news.
You should call Lindsay.
It's good news.
Oh, man, drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
Oh, my goodness. It's time for a bonus edition of Rehab Roulette.
Really?
Celebrities, they love to party. How f***ed up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
All right, no more bets. No more bets, folks.
I'd like to double up on Pat O'Brien.
Scott Weiland's our latest winner. Scott Weiland.
Oh, that's not good.
Back in rehab, Velvet Revolver was forced to cancel a show at the House of Blues in San Diego last Wednesday night. The band's management released a statement saying that Scott has checked himself voluntarily back into a rehab facility with an apology to the fans that missed out on the show because Scott could not appear. Mm. As we all know, Scott's got a long history of fighting addiction. Mm. So we hope he gets well soon. And that's our double edition of Rehab Roulette.
We have a winner.
Dewey.
Yes. Dewey.
Bring it.
Brian in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How are you, party for Angel? Sorry.
Hit me with a couple more Will Ferrell sports.
Yeah, we got Skating with Blades of Glory and
skating,
Soccer Kicking
right.
and Screaming.
Soccer Kicking and Screaming, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Also would have accepted the other one.
NASCAR Racing,
right.
Talladega Nights.
Congratulations. You got a pair of tickets to see the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro.
Thank you, guys.
Hang on, we'll
give you
all the
details. Blow your mind? That just happened.
Getting dizzy. I'm all the gayness. This movie, I'm telling you, the first 5 minutes, he plays Jackie Moon, Will does in this movie. Jackie Moon is a one-hit wonder disco artist who had a smash number one hit called Love Me Sexy.
Right. Okay.
And he takes all the proceeds from his smash number one selling record and buys himself a basketball team because he always wanted to play power forward. So Jackie Moon is the power forward, owner, and coach of the Flint, Michigan Tropics, which, by the way, is the funniest name ever for a team coming out of Flint, Michigan. And the first 5 minutes is just the beginning of the game. He's announcing his team, and you will cry. He announces guys by saying stuff like, all right, bring him out. He's number 23. He's a great player. His brother's retarded. Here he is. And the place just goes nuts.
Just whatever you can think of.
And Will Arnett and this other funny, funny dude are the play-by-play color guys who do the radio broadcast. And one guy's like, you know, it's true. His brother is retarded. In fact, he has all three different kinds of retardation. That was like the first 60 seconds of the movie. I'm like, this is my kind of movie.
I like it. I'm in.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Got a bunch of them. Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child's 26 years old today. Brandy turns 28. Leslie Nielsen from the Airplane movies, and this is the Naked Gun movies. He's 82 years old today.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
It's not him, but
it's not him,
a good movie.
From that movie.
Yes. Tina Louise, Ginger from Gilligan's Island, is 74 years old today.
Oh.
He's been on the island a long time. That
she
Ginger.
Has.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds is 72. Sheryl Crow turns 45. Jennifer Aniston is 38. And our pal Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park Is he Fonzie? He's 30 years old.
Hey, Mr. C.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Speaking of Foo Fighters, speaking of that song, last night the Grammys were held inside at Staples Center, and then outside was something that was kind of like the kids' table at Thanksgiving. You know, all the people who were a little too rowdy, the K-Rock listeners that weren't allowed inside, and Jason Bateman from Arrested Development and Juno, Lisa.
Juno.
He was outside talking about what was happening on the outside stage.
Welcome to the People's Grammys out here in the shadow of the Staples Center. Like me, all these fine boys and girls have already been thrown out of the venue, so we're here, and I'm sorry, I'm going to try to get some of you back in as soon as possible, but we happen to be the lucky ones, because here, out here at LA Live, we will soon be rocking and rolling with the greatest band in the land, Foo Fighters!
And I know what you're thinking. Who are all those lucky stiffs who are in the orchestra playing behind Foo Fighters? What must that be like? And we thought we'd line up a member of the orchestra who was playing the cello last night. Tina Kuo is on the phone with us right now. Hey, Tina.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Hi, Tina.
We're great. Thanks for joining us. How'd you get to be part of the orchestra behind Mr. Grohl and friends last night?
Well, actually, there was a online YouTube competition.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we just had to upload a 60-second video about, you know, 8 bars in the beginning of the very beginning of the song, and mm-hmm. then we would write a 12-bar solo of whatever we wanted. And then we uploaded them, and, you know, whoever picked the videos picked them, and it was partially public voting. Partially the Grammy Association.
Now, they had an orchestra sitting up on the stage, and then they had three other people that, you know, people could vote on or whatever. Was everyone in the orchestra chosen like that?
Yeah, actually, it was. I guess there were hundreds of submissions because it was like a national search. And then the people in the orchestra, there's actually a top 15. So we were all flown out here, or, you know, I'm from L.A., so I walked, or I drove, you know, 15.
Yeah, you didn't have to go anywhere.
And then they also hired 15 other people just to fill in the orchestra. But basically, it was the top 15, and then out of those, three were picked to be contestants for the, you know, top one.
Now, Tina, your bio reads a lot like mine. 22 years old, soloist with the San Diego Symphony, played with the La Jolla Symphony, played with the State of Mexico National Symphony, Culver City Symphony. I hear that one's not very good. there's like 75 symphonies that you've played with. You've been a professional musician since you were 9?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Well, don't stop that. You're making us all look bad. You're the kid in the class that throws off the curve.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tina, why did you want to enter this? Was it to be on TV? Was it to meet Dave Grohl? Was it to have something to add to your resume? What was your motivation?
You know, I've been playing classical music since I was 7, like you said, I'm 22 now. But about 4 years ago when I came out to L.A. for school at USC, I just really got into rock, or actually I got into metal. Right now I play classical and I also play the electric cello.
You got into metal?
What? Yeah, I play progressive metal, actually.
Progressive metal. What are some of the bands that you play with?
Well, the people that I've played with actually haven't been very progressive metal. It's like the band, my own band has been like that. This past summer, though, I actually toured with a girl band through Australia, and we were kind of, you know, progressive metal, but it was more, you know, rock and classical fusion.
Psycho Mike, why haven't you married Tina yet? She's 22. I've been to the website. She's unbelievably beautiful. She loves the metal. You guys are perfect for each other.
I think I love her. I really do. I think, I mean, and especially because, like, our credentials meet up. You know, we're, like, pretty much the same person.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Tell me about how much rehearsal you got to do with Foo Fighters ahead of the broadcast last night, Tina.
I believe we did 2 rehearsals at the rehearsal space and 1, you know, just the whole Grammy run-through that they do, like an exact, you know, calculated run-through.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you think of the guys? Aren't they great fun to work with?
Oh, they're really sweet. Like, no egos at all, you know? So it was just totally cool. We were all hanging out and playing. It was, everybody thought the rehearsals would take longer, but it was pretty low-key, I think.
Yeah. I got a clip from the TV last night. You'll get an idea if you didn't see the show and you're trying to picture that song, The Pretender, with an orchestra behind it. Here's about 30 seconds of what it sounded like. If you listen really closely, I think you can pick out Tina's cello.
Thank you.
that's a little bit different, huh? That's not something you hear every day.
That sounded great.
That's pretty cool.
It was very cool. It was very
cool. Actually, you know, John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin arranged it and conducted it, so it was all just really cool.
I was wondering about that when I was looking in the orchestra and I saw you and how young so many of the people in that band were last night. Was it a big deal to meet a member of Led Zeppelin? Did most of the people know who he was?
I think so. I hope so. you know, I don't know. I'm not sure, but it was definitely cool. So
cool for you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun watching that last night. I'm glad you agreed to come on and tell us about it. It's always, you know, anytime anyone gets a chance to interact with Foo Fighters, they ought to do it. I know those opportunities don't come along very often, but I'm glad you got to have one because we really enjoy those guys, and they're so much fun to hang out with. It sounds like it was the same deal for you two.
Yeah, they're cool, and they invited us to the Sony BMD party afterwards, so we all went out. And
nice.
Wow. And I didn't sleep.
All right, Tita, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right, cool. Thank you.
You bet.
The Offspring on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean. No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yeah. It's a holiday. It's not my fault.
We have an announcement.
Valentine's, Valentine's, to Valentine's Day. Cholo things are gonna happen.
It's a pretty clean holiday.
Eyebrow pencil.
Dodgers.
Valentine's spooks. Outside my window, Valentine spooks behind the Chevy. I wish those cholos could see that my hyena's hair is real crunchy, cause it's Valentine spooks outside my window pane.
That's right, fool. Recognize, like, the solo jams. Maybe go swimming in my jeans, eh? Like, tip back that Bacardi, get loco, eh? That's right, Aina. I like your lip liner. Look at your blouse. It's clean with a black bra, Aina.
Valentine's Day, bitch. Valentine's spooks outside my window. Valentine's spooks behind the Chevy.
Just in time for the holiday, ladies and gentlemen. Rudy with Valentine's spooks right there.
Valentine's spooks behind the Chevy. Yes.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yes. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. And by the way, this might be an outstanding time to say, if you want to go to our Valentine's Day party, which is this Thursday night at On the Rocks, which is that super cool club above the Roxy, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. What are we looking for? Are we looking for guys or are we looking for girls?
We're looking for girls, and we're looking for bad Valentine's Day stories.
Okay.
You had a horrible Valentine. And give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll talk to you coming up here in just a few minutes. Girls that are 21 or over.
Okay, and you can make it Thursday night. We want to hear about disastrous Valentine's Days. You thought it was going to be lovely and romantic. It turned out to be anything but. So give us a call. Speaking of announcements, how about the World Tour? We got destination number 6 to roll out for K-Rock World Tour 2008. Where are we going this time?
We are going to Zurich, Switzerland.
Wow.
Dude, to see Panic at the Disco.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, right?
Some pretty awesome places lately.
Panic is playing the Honda Center June 14th. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10, and you can qualify coming up here very soon.
Hey, this is Brendan from Panic at the Disco. Keep it here on K-Rock.
Haven't you people ever heard of
K-Rock World Tour? Anywhere is possible. Is possible. Alps, bank accounts, and chocolate. What do you know? It's Destination 6, Panic at the Disco in Switzerland.
Let's get these D-Hearts beating.
Listen to K-Rock all week for tickets to Panic at the Disco at the Honda Civic Tour.
June 14th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Tickets on sale Saturday at 10 a.m.
You're supposed to be in Switzerland, you little son of a bitch!
If Kevin and Bean yodel your name Friday morning,
you're going to Panic in Switzerland.
Keep listening to win.
The world-famous K-Rock.
Made possible by the movie Jumper. Opening in theaters everywhere February 14th. Anywhere is possible.
I think I'm vaguely insulted by the theme, but give it to me anyway.
How dare you? This is... That's a
Love on the Rocks! With Kevin and Bean.
See, not bad.
So far, so good.
One guy is stupid.
That's you.
The other's just mean.
That's you.
That one's awesome.
If you're down on your luck, then join us and someone new.
That's the key, you know. If you want to get over somebody, what do they say you have to do? Get under someone else.
Sure.
That's exactly what they say. And why not Valentine's Day, if you're single and looking and want to join us, we're going to be at a place called On the Rocks on Sunset in Hollywood. It's a private, cool, exclusive club just above the famous Roxy on Sunset. You can go to the roxyonsunset.com for more information. DJ Omar Khan is going to be spinning. We got a no-host bar with drink specials, dessert, the whole deal. It's going to be a lot of fun for you and a bunch of K-Rock single listeners. Now, we're looking for ladies right now at 1-800. What? What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing, Nick, because it's just going to be a bitterness ball. It's just going to be everybody's going to be there. Halloween night, I mean, Valentine's night, and just seems to be going, I'm going to be angry and just have an angry sex.
Well, as long as they're having sex.
Yeah, I think it'll work out. Right. We're looking for ladies this time at 1-800-520-1067. And the theme of discussion is bad Valentine's days that you've already endured, and you're trying to figure out a way to make this one better. Why don't we start with Sarah in Los Alamitos? She's down on line 8 this morning. Sarah, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning.
Hi, Sarah.
What happened?
So what happened?
Okay, so last year on Valentine's Day, a couple days before that, I had been trying to get a hold of my boyfriend for about 3 days. You know, we've been playing phone tag. I'd call him, and he wouldn't call me back, or he'd call me back while he knew I was at work and not leave a message. So Valentine's morning, on my way into work, I stopped by his house with his gift and caught him there with another girl.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
Look, the rule of the Kevin and Bean Show has always been you don't surprise people. Even if it's in your own house, you don't go home early. You certainly don't drop by people's houses without them knowing you're coming. You're asking for it, Sarah.
I know. But I had a present. I thought, well, I'll just drop it off on his porch on the way. And then I saw his car was there, so I went up and, you know, the door was unlocked, went inside, and threw his present in his head. So
I hope it was big and heavy.
Nice.
It was a watch. It made a nice little dent in the wall.
Okay, good.
All right, Sarah, how long ago was this? Are you over it now? Are you ready to mingle?
I'm ready to get over it. It was last Valentine's Day. So.
Last Valentine's
Day.
She's had
a year.
Yeah.
I think I'm fine with Sarah. What do you guys think for Thursday night?
I'm fine. Sarah.
We'll see you Thursday night. Bring another single chick, 21 and up, for the party. All right, who do you want to go to
next? Let's go to Maria in Long Beach. Good morning, Maria.
Hi, morning, guys.
Also 25 years old. What went wrong with your Valentine's Day?
Oh, well, my boyfriend at the time told me he was going to stay home because he wasn't feeling well,
right.
Red flag, on Valentine's Day. So I drive to go get him food. And as I'm driving, I see him in a car, totally dressed up. So I follow him. I live in Long Beach. And, of course, everybody goes down to 2nd Street. And I totally watch him get out of the car. He meets his ex-girlfriend who lives out there in Belmont Shore. And they totally go to the restaurant that we always go to. Right there.
Nice.
Oh, that's
awesome. So what did you do?
After I kicked his ass, I broke up with him.
All right.
For sure.
So did you walk
the street for me too?
Did you approach them while he was still with her though and call him out on it?
No, I didn't, and I wish I would have. But
did you say he lives across the street from you in Long Beach?
Yes, he lives across the street from me. So
how hard is that to check up on him when he says he's sick?
Yeah, no kidding.
He's stupid, too.
He's stupid,
yeah,
right?
He's an idiot. He's an idiot. He even brought me over a cheesecake or ice cream cake, and I'm lactose intolerant, so he'd like to get me out of the way.
He was trying to kill you.
Wow.
I like that. Happy Valentine's
Day. Hey, eat this.
You did the right thing by kicking him to the curb. Maria, I think I speak for the room when I say we'll see you Thursday night as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
Congratulations.
All right, here's something different. Let's try Elizabeth on line 4. This is a very different problem than the first two callers. Elizabeth, Mission Hills, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Elizabeth.
What year was your bad Valentine's Day story?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Okay,
right. So
go ahead.
You were 21. Okay. How long were you together with the dude?
3 years.
All right. What happened?
Okay, our anniversary, Valentine's Day. Time to have sex. Just kidding. No, we didn't have sex. And it was our anniversary, too.
Yeah.
Why not?
He was tired.
He's 21.
But
No. He was 26 at the time. He was a little bit older than me.
Right.
Okay, but 26. You're not too tired to have sex ever at 26.
You're
apparently
ugly.
He was.
Well, but the next night or whatever, right? I mean, happens occasionally. You can just have sex the next night.
Occasionally?
Right?
No, that didn't happen because I broke up with him the next day.
Oh,
wow. Here's a woman who will break up with you if you don't have sex with her when she wants it immediately.
Perform like a monkey. I like that. I want sex now.
Now, Elizabeth, Mike kind of said something under his breath in the back of the room, and I just want to make sure we're not making a tragic mistake here. Is it that he couldn't have sex with you because you're so fat? I mean, is that what was going on?
Oh, no. I'm training with Miss Fitness right now, okay? I'm in shape.
Okay. Fat out. Ugly.
No,
know, I'm actually really pretty. I don't mean to sound conceited, but, you know, I get a lot of compliments, and, you know, he was just an idiot.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. I mean, I think you're right. I was leaning toward believing you anyway, but I just had to verify. That's
I gotta tell you, I'm getting a bad vibe from her.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. We asked for when she had a bad Valentine's Day.
Right.
So this was clearly the relationship was not good.
Right.
But, and it all kind of came to a head on Valentine's Day.
How do you
Day.
Know that everything wasn't great and happy and hunky-dory up until that point, and he maybe had a really bad day that day?
Is that what happened,
Elizabeth? Maybe he just wasn't into
it. Actually, he was my first, like, real boyfriend, first.
Yeah, we know.
First everything. So,
right.
But, you know, I kind of...
But I think what Mike is suggesting is maybe you could have cut him a little bit of slack for that one night, I think, is what he was suggesting.
You know, I could have, but that's not the first time.
Oh, all right.
All right, well, that makes it...
I was hoping that maybe he was good in bed up until that point, and maybe, you know, he's having family problems or something happened at work that day, and it just, you know...
Here's what I'm going to guarantee you guys. I'm going to guarantee you guys, because I'm getting a bad vibe on Elizabeth. I'm going to guarantee you, on Thursday night, she's going to be the first person to say the words that we hate, which are, "Hey, no good guys here."
Oh,
I guarantee you that's Elizabeth.
Girl. Okay, honestly, you want to know why you're tired?
Not talking to you, Elizabeth.
Okay. Okay. Wow, she's got a mouthy, too, isn't she?
She's giving the honest info right now.
Okay,
honestly, you want to know why?
Okay.
Honestly, why?
Honestly?
Yes.
He is playing World of Warcraft.
Oh.
For about 5 hours before. Okay?
All right, Elizabeth, here's the deal.
All right, I'll take it back.
If we let you in and you're one of those girls,
we're going to kick you out.
We're going to kick you out.
That's right.
Deal.
Okay.
We're gonna kick you out.
And then out.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. You're in.
All right.
Barely though, I gotta tell you.
Seemed like she's got a little bit of attitude there. She's dangerous. But she could be a firecracker. Could pay off for some lucky guy there that night.
Yeah, that's true. Or could injure him.
That's right too.
All right, let's go to Natalie, who is calling us from Covina. Good morning, Natalie.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Natalie.
What would you have voted on that last girl, Elizabeth, Natalie?
I'm up in the air about
all right,
that one.
Not
I'm
a read.
All right.
Okay. Tell us about your bad Valentine.
Okay. A few years back, I had to work on Valentine's Day. I worked at a hotel, and I worked at the front desk, and my ex brought me some roses. And between that and my lunch break, we somehow got in some sort of argument. I don't even remember what it was about. It was something obviously stupid. And he came back and took the roses back. And ended up shredding them into pieces and tossing them all over the front desk in front of everybody.
Oh, my God.
What a douche.
I was so embarrassed.
Can you give me those roses back right now?
Yeah, security ended up having to come in and escort him out.
That's embarrassing. It's your place of work.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Needless to say, a couple years after I had a daughter with him, so.
Oh, Natalie.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Natalie?
Wait a minute. That wasn't the end of the story?
No.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm over it now. He's
Mexican.
Out of state. And
he ripped up the flowers at your place of business.
I know. It was embarrassing.
Here's what I want to know. I want to fast forward ahead to then you had this kid. Why aren't you guys together anymore? What was the thing that finally broke it up?
It gets worse. We moved out of state, and he ended up leaving me for his ex-girlfriend.
I think he made the right
one.
Wow.
That was the last straw.
Wow. Really? So at that point, you said, "Get out. I'm breaking up with you, guy who already left me for your ex-girlfriend."
Oh, what do you guys think? I'm getting a weird vibe on Natalie, too,
by the way.
Stay
home with your kid.
Natalie sounds fine to me, but she's a horrible decision maker.
She really does make bad choices. I don't know that I want to trust her.
You've changed. Definitely. I've learned from my lessons. I can say that much.
When was the last time you had sex with this guy?
Oh, years ago.
Okay.
Before my daughter.
All right.
Okay. Well, everyone at the party is looking for a single mom, I'll tell you that. So it's going to be really sexy having you there, Natalie.
She's not bringing her kid, Bean.
Well, she should be giving the kid away before she calls us is all I'm suggesting. Put the kid up for adoption. Call us back for next year. That's my advice.
That's Bean who hates kids. All right. I think, is she in?
She's in.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Natalie. All right. We'll see you on Thursday night. King of Mexico will keep answering for a few minutes and see if we can find any other very low quality women to join us at the party.
Home of the K-Rock World Tour 2008, of course. Why would anyone else host the K-Rock World Tour 2008? But Panic in the Disco in Zurich this time. Your chance to qualify by winning tickets to see Panic coming up at the Honda Center in June. Very soon, you'll qualify for that. The grand prize drawing we do Friday to send someone to Zurich, Switzerland to see the band again. That's all on the way from K-Rock at 7:57. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat from Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
I've got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro, the new Will Ferrell movie. It's going to be next Tuesday the 19th at the Mann Chinese Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood. The movie doesn't hit theaters until February 29th, so if you're a lucky winner, you'll be able to not only to see the movie before anybody else, but get to see Will walking down the red carpet and Woody Harrelson, his co-star, Will Arnett. Just a bunch of very funny people in this movie. I had a chance to see the film, and I'm telling you, it's freaking hilarious. It's right up there with Talladega Nights and Anchorman, in my opinion.
Love that.
It was a laugh riot. Plus, you got Will in the Caucasian Afro. And that's just strong.
Best Afro.
What's better than that?
Problem was, I went to see it over in Westwood with a bunch of UCLA students. So you'd be turning out for the screening as well.
Hey!
And there were about a dozen guys in there rocking the Afro.
No.
And I'm thinking, if this movie causes white dudes with curly hair to start to grow out their hair into the Afro, he's going to have some answering to do to me, because that is not a good look. It was fine in 1976, where the movie takes place, but just no one should be rocking that now.
I've always wanted an Afro.
I'm sure you have.
I would have an Afro right now if I could work it.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. Ass hats like Bean would do it just to say, oh, look at me, I have an Afro. And those people would walk around, and then you would have to punch them in the face.
First of all, under no circumstances would you rule.
Yes.
Second of all, see, first of all.
Instead of Bean rocking the Afro, now he's got the Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart hair carpet that he wears on his head that goes down to the middle of his back now.
It's a good look.
Did you see Little Richard's mullet on the Grammys last night, by the way?
That was the best
black man mullet I've ever seen in my life. It was powerful.
It's called the Jerry Mullet, I think they called it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, if you'd like to go, I want to give it to some fans of Will's, not just anybody. So I will give away a pair of tickets to the first correct caller for the following trivia question. One of Will's earliest breaks in motion pictures was the Austin Powers movie series. He appeared in two of those films as the same character. Please name that character for me now, won't you? 1-800-520-1067. First person with the correct answer gets a pair of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro. Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Fool's Gold came in at number one, $22 million.
Wow. Wow.
All righty then.
This whole weekend at the Oscars, this whole weekend at the box office, I mean, is a preview of next year's Oscars. Have there ever been more quality films in theaters at one time, Ralph?
I believe no. Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins was number two.
Exactly.
Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus concert tour movie was number three. The Eye was number four.
Keep going. We'll get to something.
Juno was number five.
Juno?
Nice.
Well done. God. Much better, Lisa.
Thank you.
Much better.
Number six was 27 Dresses. The Bucket List was seven. Rambo, number eight. Meet the Spartans, number nine. And There Will Be Blood, number 10. And there will be. If you watch that movie, you find out there is blood.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Yeah. Sad news, Roy Scheider, one of my favorite character actors, has passed away at the age of 75, passed away yesterday. They are saying his cause of death is complications from a staph infection, though he had been undergoing treatment for multiple myeloma at the Myeloma Institute and Research and Therapy for the past 2 years, which is a cancer of the blood, plasma, actually. Mm. He was in Jaws, of course, played Chief Brody. The police chief of Amity Island. First movie ever to earn $100,000 at the box office, by the way, Jaws.
Really?
The first of the blockbusters.
100 million, you mean, I think.
What did I say?
100,000.
That's not true. 100 million.
Seemed like much,
would be the answer.
I liked him in all that jazz.
Yeah, it was great, too.
He was really good in that.
Showtime.
Yeah.
See that.
Oh, just too many good stories and not enough time, people, so I'm going to try to get to a few of them. I don't have time to tell you how Heather Mills is a cheating whore.
Really?
I will get to that in the next hour, I promise you. I won't have time here to play the new Chris Berman audio tape that's on the internet, which is hysterical.
Love
where
that.
He teaches you how to smuggle drugs into the country. That's a good one.
Fantastic.
But I do have time for another edition of Tyra Banks is a filthy, skanky, disgusting, fat whore.
I don't think we have a song for that exact title.
No?
But she is.
Give me something close.
I can give you this.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore. A big f***ing whore.
Big fat whore.
actually a ride at Disneyland.
I know.
Is this a follow-up to the bad story Friday about Tyra?
This has nothing to do with pulling a Tyra.
Okay, because Kevin wasn't here for that. You want to give him that synopsis to lead into this one?
We really don't have time, but really quickly, Tyra Banks crapped herself during Fashion Week in New York.
I saw that photo. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
So pulling a Tyra is now the new phrase around here for when you lose control of your bowels.
Okay, good.
No, this time Tyra is threatening a lawsuit against a cancer patient.
What?
Here's the story.
Because she's not hot?
39-year-old Jody Hughes is a woman who's been diagnosed with stage 4 cervical cancer and lupus.
Oh, my God. Bad.
Her two kids, 17-year-old Jordan and 10-year-old Nick, had submitted her name to the Tyra Banks show for the Holiday Girl Party Makeover. So she was thrilled, Jody was, when she found out that she had been chosen for the makeover.
Okay.
They fly to Los Angeles. They take her into the studio. This is according to the National Enquirer report and the woman herself who talked to them. They take the woman into the studio, but her two kids, Jordan and 10-year-old Nick, who is legally blind, by the way, were left sitting on the curb outside the studio lot with no food, no phone, no money for hours while Jody underwent her transformation. Jody says the transformation turned out to be a new dress and a cheap, painful hair weave. Story gets better. The weave was done so poorly that her scalp became badly infected from the hair extensions, and she had to have them surgically removed in the emergency room.
Dude.
No.
Jody asks, do you know what it's like to have to grow your own hair again after months of chemotherapy only to have it all chopped off again? Oh. It's devastating. So she contacted the Tyra Banks show and asked for an apology for leaving her kids outside on their own with no supervision, no money, no food, no water. And then the horrible job they did, the botched job they did on this weave. In response, Tyra Banks is hitting her with a gag order and threats of litigation from preventing her from ever publicly blasting the show for at least 1 year or she will sue.
Bitch.
We didn't want a cent from them, Jody said. All we wanted was an apology.
F you, you effing bitch.
Wow.
Way to be, Tyra.
How did the woman go in for the makeover and just leave her kids out on the curb, by the way? Wouldn't you hand those kids over to somebody?
You would insist that they bring them in at least.
You think so, yeah. That's weird.
It is. Well, isn't that insane?
That is insane.
Was that not crazy?
That's crazy. You're horrible. Really. You're
really?
A horrible person.
Yeah. Really horrible.
Total fucking bullshit.
It's true. And you poop yourself.
And that's true, too. That's not sexy.
That's not sexy at all.
Not to me.
No. Today's celebrity birthdays. Brandy, 28 years old today. Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child turns 26. Jennifer Aniston from Friends is 38 years old today. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park is 30 years old. Burt Reynolds, the actor, turns 72 years old today. Yet his face is only 8, oddly enough.
Not a wrinkle on it.
Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island turns 74, and Leslie Nielsen, one of our favorite actors from the Airplane movies and from the Naked Gun movies and from the Kevin and Bean show. Remember he was doing one of those scary movie type shows where they do a bunch of parodies of different movies?
I don't remember that at all, no.
And you guys were asking him about the Saw parody?
No.
And he got a little confused?
No, I don't.
And it went something like this.
Look at Psycho Mike. Look at him.
Seriously.
Mike enough notice.
How you guys spoof War of the Worlds? You spoof The Grudge, The Village, Saw, Million Dollar Baby. How many of those movies have you seen?
How about the basketball game?
Basketball game. Remind me about the basketball game. I forget.
Am I talking about the... Who am I talking to?
It's Kevin.
Kevin. Kevin.
You know, I do police work. You can't be found.
That's correct,
Where are you? You're in Dallas, right?
We're in Dallas, yes. Yes, we are. Just decided to go with it.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Could ask him if he was syndicated.
Yeah. Could have done that.
That's what I would have done. That he was.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And the Grammy goes to...
No.
River, the Johnny Letters, Herbie Hancock. Unbelievable.
Yeah, highlights, if you want to call it that, from last night's Grammy Awards coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, time to talk a little bit of politics. A lot of Americans are realizing that it's not just a theory. It's not just on paper. It actually may happen. We may have a woman or an African-American as president by this time next year. And that's causing a lot of conversation around town, you guys. A lot of people are wondering, you know, what that's going to be like, if it's going to be any different than the old white guys who've been running this country for the last 250 years. So we thought, let's bring our expert on all things sensitive. Bruce Endicott back on the line here from coffee. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Great.
Now, coffee again, for folks who may not have heard you as a guest on our show, that stands for what, Mr. Endicott?
We are the Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay.
Which, of course,
okay,
very good. Coffee.
Coffee. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Coffee, certainly. And was I correct in the intro when I'm saying that a lot of very important discussions in this country about sex and race are being conducted as a result of these Democratic primaries?
Absolutely. Those of us here at Coffee are dismayed, nay, shocked, that so many people have so many concerns about having an African-American or a female in the White House.
Do you find that there's a lot of fear about that? Because
we are finding that, yes, considerably, especially in our country club.
That's surprising.
The 19th hole, as we call it, when we're having a gimlet.
Right.
You hear many people concerned with the fact that one of these two candidates, who I believe are wonderful, qualified candidates,
okay, good,
may take the office, and they have grave concerns about those things.
Okay,
and we
here
at Coffee, we like to try to smooth the waters.
That's what you're known
okay
for.
Try
that's
to good.
Try to allay the fears of anyone due to any sort of racial or sexual bigotry.
Okay. So what is your organization advising maybe for people who can't see anything other than that's a woman or that's a black guy? They're looking beyond that these are, you know, qualified politicians.
Well, I think that's the key, is focus on the fact that these people are both qualified. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, both in their own ways, are qualified.
Okay.
And you have to allay some of your fears. I mean, let's deal with the big ones. Let's deal with some of the major fears most people in this country are having right now.
Okay.
If Barack Obama gets in the office, there has been talk about bolting down some of the more expensive antiques in the White House.
What are you talking about?
Nobody's saying
ridiculous.
That.
Ridiculous. There's no need for that.
That's not a major fear.
I mean, sure, count the silverware, but why do you need to bolt down the antiques? That's ridiculous.
No one is.
That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. Let's not focus on that. That's
no
my point.
Well, that's the first I've ever heard of that.
Oh, no, it is.
Of course it is.
Oh, please. We all know how you are.
Come on. That's absurd.
If Hillary gets in the office, but a lot of people are saying we should hide the nuclear codes every third week of the month.
Oh, come on.
And I say that is simply ridiculous.
I've never heard that.
The odds are excellent. There will be a man in the vicinity that can give her some chocolate and talk her off the ledge.
All right. If she's the president of the United States, I don't think you need to be worried about menstrual cycles
That's
here. All right.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
That's not what you're saying at all.
That is what I'm saying. Let's forego these ridiculous fears.
Okay. I haven't heard either of those. But all right.
Well, lots of people are concerned that Barack Obama will change the national anthem to "Baby's Got Back."
No.
Okay. Now, I'd be in favor.
I think that is just ridiculous.
I would be in favor of that.
No, let me assure America, there's no danger of that happening. Nor will Hillary Clinton believe the Washington Monument is too phallic and have it turned into a concrete vagina.
Come on,
concrete vagina, by the way.
Playing Coachella, they're very good.
Nor will Hillary Clinton demand at the beginning of every State of the Union address that everyone stand and tell her that she looks thin in that pantsuit.
She won't do that.
It's not going to happen.
So we don't have to worry about
that. No danger of that happening. Everyone, please, please, just let it go.
Okay.
Nor there's any danger that Barack Obama will do a drive-by in the Republican National Convention.
Come on.
That's just not going to happen.
Why would you even suggest
that's
that,
what
Bruce?
I'm saying. It's
ridiculous.
Ludicrous. That anyone, ludicrous. However, maybe a vice presidential potential candidate.
No doubt.
Wait a minute. No doubt's going to be there?
When did we start just entertaining ourselves? At what point?
1994, Kevin.
Bruce, you do good work.
Oh, please.
Are the Grammys still going, or have they wrapped it up?
They just ended about 15 minutes
ago.
Look, last night was the 50th annual Grammy Awards, and I hope to Christ it's the last one. I hope they go, you know what, guys? Good run. Nice 50 years, half a century. We're done because clearly we got our heads up our asses. That's what I hope the discussion is this morning.
You think that their slogan, the next 50 is here, tips off their hand to whether they're going to keep going or not?
That made me very nervous. I will tell you that the very first words on the telecast last night made me sad when I tuned into Channel 2 at 8 o'clock and heard this.
It's Grammy's 50th birthday, and everybody's coming to the party.
That's not my Kevin.
No.
It's not the Grammys without you. What are you kidding me?
They didn't show up outside my house with signs trying to beg me to do it.
I just thought it was just sad because you could hear her. She was articulate. Yeah. You could understand what she was saying. She cut through the music.
She was really
nearly
good.
As much fun as trying to decipher you when you're doing the booth announcing. However, Kevin, how miserable would you have been if you would have had to be there? Because everything about the Grammys last night was, what can we do that Kevin hates?
Let's get a bunch of old people and have them sing old songs together for no reason. And let's give out 500 Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Right. To people who are all dead.
Dear God.
I did think throughout the entire show, whether it was Jerry Lee Lewis or The Time, I just kept thinking, Kevin would hate this so much because they're dragging up another old act just to waste time on the Grammys. But I think they did a little bit more of that than usual last night because it was the 50th anniversary. I think they were trying to like pay tribute to their history or something like that. A perfect example. I don't know how Tom Hanks fits in, but Tom Hanks comes on and he's talking about, you know, the freaking Beatles.
Tonight, we honor the power of the Beatles.
So 11 minutes of people dancing to Beatles songs during the Grammys last night?
That was the Cirque du Soleil thing, right?
They brought out The Love, which is that Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas, and they did that for 5 or 6 minutes. And then they brought out the people from the Across the Universe movie and did that for 5 or 6 minutes.
But when they took a shot of Paul McCartney in the crowd, he was so happy. He was clapping along. It seemed like a lifetime of happiness just brought – what?
Actually, no. Paul couldn't make it. He wasn't there. They just sent Ringo.
So they did an entire thing for the Beatles and one of the two living Beatles not there.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. That was a long time to watch people dance. I will tell you that. It was. I mean, I'm sure it's fun when you go to Vegas and see the show. Not necessarily so much on the TV.
Yeah.
Now, there was one highlight that was being advertised ahead of time that I was actually looking forward to, and it was one of the few events on the Grammys last night that really did pay off, that I felt like I got my money's worth. And that was the duet between Tina Turner, who, of course, is a huge past Grammy winner, and Beyoncé Knowles, who's won a few herself. And they did a duet together on Proud Mary. First of all, Tina Turner at 68 years old. I mean, how old's your mother, Kevin? She's got to be around that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just about the same.
No, imagine your mom is out there doing what Tina Turner was doing with that dancing and with that singing. It was unbelievable.
It was, except for then they brought out Beyonce, who's one of the most beautiful women in the world. And then you realize Tina Turner is a catcher's mitt. She looks like the sole of my shoe. She's so ugly.
Compared to.
You don't put Beyonce next to her. You leave her up there by herself so you can go, 68. She looks pretty good for 68. Instead of, wow, look at that change.
I don't think Beyonce has ever looked better than she looked last night. I mean, I need to get a bigger TV just to see all of her legs that she was showing last night. It was unbelievable how great she looked. That Jay-Z is a lucky guy, man, I'll tell you. One of the things I hate about all these award shows, and all the networks do it, is they bring out people who are on their shows. Hey, here's a chick from Without a Trace. Hey, here's Joe Montana, who's on some show we have on CBS. Is George Lopez still on? Does he have a show? Why was George Lopez there? It's the only thing I can think is he must have something going with the network.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't watch the show.
His ABC show is not on anymore. It's syndicated, but it's not on the
network. Yeah, I don't know what he was doing there, but at least he brought his hilarious Mexican chunk like he does every single time he goes. Like, we can't see him and know his name is George Lopez and realize that he's Mexican. He's always got to bring this.
How great a country is this? The only place where a white woman and a black man can run for the president of the United States. That's right. To ensure that nothing ever happens to either one of them, they should appoint a Mexican vice president.
Yeah. George, we get it. We know you're Mexican. It's funny. We got it.
When he said president of the United States, I shouted out at the TV, give us the Mexican joke.
Because
that's really all he does.
And it was a bomb, too, by the way. I don't know if you heard how quiet it was at that place. It's just, it's not the place for it. It didn't fit. It wasn't funny. It was a disaster. Now your boy Kanye's on.
I love that.
Kanye loves Kanye is the thing I'll tell you about him.
Kanye loves Kanye more than anyone else could possibly love Kanye.
He believes he's the only artist worth listening to.
That's correct.
He believes he should win all the awards. And he was prepared to take, I guess he did win a few big awards, including Best Rap Album. He was prepared to take as much time as Kanye felt like up on the stage, regardless of whether they had the rest of the show still to go. Here's part one of Kanye's acceptance speech.
It definitely feels good to be home here at the Grammys. You know, we snuck in about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and now we basically made this our new place of residence.
All right, Kanye, you've won 4 or 5 Grammys. You don't live there. You don't own it. There are guys in the building who have won dozens of Grammys. You don't hear Stevie Wonder getting up there going, check me out. How awesome am I? I'm
24
back.
Grammys. This is my home.
Kanye acts like he has earned everything in the world.
But wasn't it the best moment ever when they tried to give him the music to play him off and he wouldn't allow it? I mean, wasn't that the only moment where you went, wow, I wonder what's going to happen?
He is just an asshat. Here's that moment you're talking about.
Always so common, like, man, you got to time the album out better. You can't drop them at the same year as me, man. You got to, this is my award. I want to, and for Mark Ronson and Amy Winehouse, come on, you going to play music on me? For Mark Ronson and Amy Winehouse, if I don't get to get up here for album of the year, you deserve it just as much as me. I deserve it too.
Right.
And just to say something about my mother, I appreciate all the support. I appreciate all the prayers. It would be in good taste to stop the music then.
Okay, so don't wait till you've already been up there for a minute before you bring up dead moms so you can chastise the band for trying to keep the show on time.
That was awesome.
It
was the only moment that had any energy. And then they brought up freaking, I don't know, Fogerty and all those guys and started doing songs and crap. It was the only moment that was good on the entire show. Beat.
I like him talking about good taste.
He's an a-hole,
yeah,
I agree.
He's such an a-hole. Polite.
But it was the only moment that I cared about.
Yeah.
That the
all
Foo
right,
Fighters performance.
I'm going to say there were two very funny things that happened on the Grammys last night. One was because everybody knows Kanye is a douche, right? So Vince Gill, who wins the award for Best Country Album, this is going to be Cut 12, Mike. He wins the Best Country Album award, and he's handed his Grammy by Ringo Starr. So Vince takes that opportunity to maybe get in a dig toward Kanye.
I just got an award given to me by a Beatle. Have you had that happen yet, Kanye?
That's good.
Why do I feel like there's going to be some East Coast, West Coast is back or something
you
with
think?
That? And then the other thing that was so funny is Jay-Z got up, who, of course, sings on Umbrella, which won a big award with Rihanna, Cut 13. And I don't know if they rehearsed this. It didn't look like it. It looked like it was something Jay-Z just kind of made up on the fly.
Yeah.
But Rihanna's given an acceptance speech, and Jay-Z decides to start translating for her.
Dad, I know I promised you I'm going to give you my first Grammy. But we might have to fight for this one.
She said she wanted to thank everybody for her first Grammy.
Anyway, I'd like to thank Jay-Z for being a part of this record with me.
She liked to thank Jigga Man for being the greatest in the world.
But then she shut him up.
Yeah, exactly. She put a hand up, right? And finally, one more clip, track 14, everybody was waiting for, and the Grammy people knew we were because they put her very near the end of the show. Amy Winehouse, who's been in the news so much lately because she's, you know, just got out of rehab and she couldn't get her visa to come to the country, which is kind of a shame, really, because it was the biggest night of her life last night. She won like 5 Grammys or something like that. She couldn't be there. She did perform live from a club in London, and she actually won a couple of big awards, including Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Best New Artist. And here she is in the room in London as she realizes that she's won this one Grammy. And she has to give an acceptance speech, and you've rarely heard someone less prepared.
Thank you to everyone at Island Records, everyone at EMI Music Publishing, to Ray Ray and Joe, 10 years this year, Ray Ray and Joe. To Mark Ronson and Salaam Remy, to my mum and dad. For my Blake incarcerated, and okay. For London, this is for London, because Camden Town is burning down.
Now, was she stoned or going through withdrawal or just got back from scuba diving? She was undergoing the bends. What was going on with her?
Probably all of the above.
Oh, my God. Was it painful? painful to watch. It was just so awkward. Every word was an effort. She could barely stand. She could barely sing.
Her boyfriend's incarcerated. Just to my Blake, incarcerated.
Right? She worked him into the lyrics of both of the songs she sang. It was just a train wreck.
And Ray, Ray and Joe, I'd also like to think, because we've been doing this for 10 years.
I don't think she would have survived the plane trip from England. I think it's probably wise that they kept her behind. But anyway, she was on. She was definitely a highlight. And then freaking don't get me started on Herbie Hancock winning Album of the Year over Kanye or Amy Winehouse. I know.
Hancock won Album of the Year.
Dude.
Come on. Is there a bigger joke ever?
Like I said, let it be the last Grammys, not the 50th Grammys. Herbie let it be the last
Hancock.
One. Anyway, good time.
It's to see Panic at the Disco at the Honda Civic Tour, and also qualified to see them in Zurich. Pretty cool, right?
The Honda Center is June 14th. By the way, tickets on sale this Saturday at 10. We'll give away tickets all this week on K-Rock, and then Friday morning at around 7:20, we make the grand prize drawing to send someone to Switzerland. Speaking of traveling, Ralph, go anywhere interesting over the weekend?
Oh, hi. Or was everyone else weightless this weekend? Or was that just me?
Do we have to call you Cosmonaut Ralph?
Was that just me? Call me Lieutenant Colonel. Lieutenant Colonel Astronaut Ralph Garman.
Have you earned that?
No.
Okay.
But I was on the Blue Squadron.
What does that mean?
I went to Las Vegas, and there is a company called Zero G. And what they do is they take you up into a converted 737 airplane that they've tricked out, and they do what they call parabolic flight, which means you fly in high arcs throughout the sky, and at the top of the arc, it enables you to be weightless. You have zero gravity at the highest point of that parabola.
So the plane, when it starts going down, it goes down quick enough that you float?
Exactly.
Cool.
You are weightless in midair.
In space at that point? Are you right
not
on the edge
space.
Of the atmosphere?
No. You're not at all. They fly within the normal parameters of a commercial air flight.
Wow.
But by the nature of how they do this parabolic flight, it doesn't recreate, but it creates zero gravity for you for 30 seconds at a time.
30 seconds is a long time.
Of each arc.
That sounds like a long time.
And so I got this as a Christmas gift from my wife because I always wanted to try it. Every time I saw it on television or I saw a news piece about somebody doing it, I said, that looks fascinating to me. I'd love to experience that. So she got it for me for Christmas, and I ended up going this weekend. And they fly right out of McCarran, there, the airport in Vegas. And they do it over the Nellis Air Force Base. And they've got about 100 miles of dedicated airspace to do these maneuvers in.
Wow, that's cool.
It is phenomenal. So you show up and they deck you out in a flight suit. You get one of these Top Gun flight suits. And they sit you down in like the squadron briefing room. It's like a scene in one of those movies where you're going to fly a mission and they get all the crew together to talk about what's going to be going on.
Tell me there's video that we can watch of you.
There is video, but I haven't got it yet. Okay. They're going to send it to me in about a week or so. But we do have photographs up on krock.com.
You in the suit?
Kevin and Bean page. Sites. If you go to sites, there's photos of me weightless in the jet itself floating around.
And let me tell you about these photos, too, Ralph. They're awesome, first of all, because you really do look like you're in Deep Impact or something. You're going to blow up an asteroid. But am I looking at this correctly? It looks like because of the zero gravity, it looks like the skin on your face is floating upward.
Everything goes up. Women knew
everything.
There were a few, yeah. Ladies were quite pleased. But like there were a couple girls on the trip. Whatever. And they had long hair, and their hair was floating up because there was no gravity. There's no weight to anything.
Zero
gravity when you get onto this flight. And they start you off. The first parabola is not quite as steep, so they say that's Martian gravity. If you were on Mars, you'd weigh about one-third of your natural weight. So if you're a 150-pound guy, you weigh 50 pounds on Mars.
Okay.
So everybody was doing one-arm push-ups and everything at the time because you're just that much lighter.
That's cool.
The second two runs, they do moon weight, which is about one-sixth of your weight. One-sixth of gravity. And then from the fourth parabola all the way up through the 15th. Zero gravity, where you are floating completely weightless in air.
I know what I feel like when a plane hits a little turbulence.
Really, really bad.
Was anyone chasing vomit through the...
Well,
the plane?
They give you the option of getting a prescription filled out and getting some motion sickness medication before you go on.
Ahead of time. Okay.
I opted for that option.
Good choice.
Didn't know if I needed it or not, but didn't want to find out the hard way.
Yeah.
There was a young lady on the craft, however, who I believe did not take the medication.
Yeah.
She was there with her boyfriend, and he spent the entire time holding her hair back weightless in space as she emptied her innards into a bag.
Oh, Did you have to, into a bag? Okay, so you didn't have to like try and avoid it in space. It's flying all around you.
They give you the jumpsuit and they say, check out, we've decked it, you know, get to keep the suit first of
okay.
all. Okay. And they deck it out for you, and in the breast pocket, the upper breast pocket, you open it up and there's a air sickness bag tucked away in there just in case.
Now, you went up there 15 times you were weightless?
Yeah. They do okay. they do 15 passes.
Do you start to get kind of comfortable and used to it after
you do.
A number of times?
The first one's completely freaky. But they, like I said, they work you up to it. But the first time you're weightless, they say don't try to do anything. Just experience it because you cannot – your mind can't wrap around what's happening to you. It
right.
really is sort of a mind F when it first happens because you have no frame of reference for what this experience would be like.
Never had it in your life.
It's like being underwater when you're floating underwater, but there's no water around you. And they
like
say,
being upside down is no different than being right side up at that point.
Exactly.
Right?
It's just a matter of perception. You're floating upside down and you're looking at stuff and you can't understand – how it's happening. You just can't. It's like being in the middle of a magic trick, but at the same time knowing it's not a trick.
Cool.
It's like real magic.
And you don't have that sense of blood rushing to your head or
no,
anything.
Because the blood is, everything's moving. Everything has zero weight, so everything moves in space without any
That's
sort of mass to it.
Cool.
And they give you a bag of M&Ms, for instance. And this is what the photos we have up on the website are. They give you a bag of M&Ms and they say, put some in your hand. This is when you're going on the climb up. And then when they get to the top, they say, okay, just open your hand. And you open your hand, and the M&Ms float out of your hand and are floating in front of your face, not moving.
Not moving.
Not moving. They're just floating with you in the middle of this aircraft, and you're floating with them.
And there's no difference.
You can eat them out of the air. You can just lean forward and take a bite and eat the M&Ms out of the air as they float in front
that's
of your face.
That's what that girl threw up.
Yeah,
that's,
by the way, that's throw
what
up.
That's
chasing.
What the photos are of me there. I'm chasing some M&Ms in zero gravity.
The look on your face in the first photo is Eli Manning just took a dump for the first time in his life and doesn't know what's happening.
You get,
but it feels good.
You get giddy up there because it's like being a kid. You can't describe what it's like to experience that feeling. And then they take a bottle of water and they squirt the bottle out and it comes out in little globules.
Oh, cool.
And the water floats around and you get to drink it out of the air.
That's cool.
It's a phenomenal experience. And I can't. They do it out of Vegas, I think, 3 or 4 times a year. So I really recommend it if you want to check it out.
Now, I'm sure you asked this, Ralph, because you're Ralph, but could you, if you were up there with a partner, would you be able to experience that at all?
Problem is, here's the thing. You go up there and you get 30 seconds of weightlessness. And
then
the
plenty
call,
of time for,
call goes,
I mean,
for you, yeah. The call goes out over the loudspeakers, feet down, coming out. And that means you have to get your feet under you at that point because they're dropping out of that parabola. And you will come crashing down to the mat in whatever position you're in up to that point.
Mm.
And so a guy I had made friends with on the flight, he was standing on the ceiling, hanging upside
down.
Was
he dancing?
He wasn't dancing. He was just standing.
Right. Okay.
And we're chatting. And we hear the call, coming out, feet down. And he looked at me and his eyes got so wide because he realized in about 10 seconds he was going to smash his head on the bottom of the plane.
That's awesome.
So I grabbed him and we maneuvered quickly and pulled him down in time. But I was flying like Superman through the cockpit.
That's pretty cool.
I was crawling up the walls over the ceiling like Spider-Man.
Wow.
It was
awesome.
It was a remarkable experience. I was just giddy the whole time I did it. I can't tell you.
How many guys do they put in each flight?
There are 3 teams of 10.
Okay.
So about
is there enough room to move around though?
Oh,
when you're up there?
There's plenty of room. But it is, it's an enormous plane, and there's no windows. It's entirely encapsulated, so you have no reference point. You don't know where, you know, in terms of you can't look and see the horizon to see where you are,
right.
Which is great because you wouldn't want that.
You don't want that anyway.
And there are some seats there for takeoff and landing, but the whole thing has been just gutted and padded. It's a remarkable piece of equipment.
That's cool.
And it turns out one of the guys who runs the thing, Noah, I want to say hi to him because he lives in Orange County and he's a fan of the show. He's listening
no
to the
kidding.
Show. So
hey, thanks for tipping us off, Noah. Thanks for all that heads up.
He said, you guys come out to Vegas. You should coordinate it next time we're in town. You guys should come out and we'll do the morning show. So I said, singles party, weightless singles party. That's the first thing that came
I
to my
like
mind
it.
Was the weightless singles party.
And we'll stop by the gun store on the way to the plane and we'll all get AK-47s.
We'll try to dodge bullets in space while they're floating in front of our eyes. We can take a bite out
this
of them.
This is coming together well.
I like it.
Time for the showbiz speed. Here's Ralph.
For now, it'll be known as Ralph Right Stuff Garmin,
okay.
If you don't mind, because I've got the right stuff, apparently. Before I get to the showbiz stories, I want to give away some tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro. It's Tuesday the 19th at the Man Chinese Theater in Hollywood. This is the brand new Will Ferrell comedy. It's hysterical. I had a chance to see it. You are going to love it. It's in theaters on February the 29th, but you get to see it at the world premiere Tuesday the 19th. If, let's see, I got 2 pairs. Let's just make it callers 4 and 5 right now. 1-800-4... What? 1-800... What's the number again?
520-1067.
Yes.
Nine.
Yeah. Callers 4 and 5 right now. Get a pair of tickets to go see Semi-Pro. I'll be on the red carpet, by the way, interviewing everyone. So,
in your space,
you'll be weightless on the red carpet.
I think I will be weightless, wearing my flight suit. Mm-hmm. I think I will be. Congratulations to Travis Barker and his wife Shauna Mochler. They're now officially single.
Ah, really?
For now.
They should invite her to the singles party Thursday, then.
They've been on again, off again since their official split back in 2006. But the divorce papers are final as of today, so they're officially single. So I guess that's good.
Mm. Good for their small child.
Oh, how are you going to be like that? At least they have two small children. Landon in Alabama.
I'm just saying, maybe think about the small children at home before you decide to get together and then split up.
Ah, this is a great story. Just in time for the final divorce proceedings in the Sir Paul McCartney, Heather Mills divorce proceedings.
Yes.
Comes the information from one of Heather's former lovers who she was cheating on Paul McCartney with.
No kidding.
He has stepped up and gone to the press. His name is Tim Steele. No, that's really his name. Tell me, he's a film editor in London, and he claims that she had an affair with him for 6 months while she was still married to Paul McCartney.
Are you kidding? Wouldn't that be your calling card for the rest of your life?
Okay, still married or after they were separated?
She was stepping out on the Beatle with me.
No, this was their marriage. Yeah, okay. In fact, she would show him texts that Paul would send to her on her cell phone while they were in their cheating bed together.
Nice.
Now, is that going to impact her desire to get millions and millions of dollars from Paul?
I don't know.
Hopefully poorly.
In fact, he said that Heather showed him texts from Paul the night before she joined him on a romantic Caribbean Valentine's Day holiday.
Oh, wow.
No?
It's a great, great story. He said, I didn't mind. I suppose I was flattered that Heather still wanted to have sex with me despite being pursued by this musical demigod. Heather was insatiable, Tim Steele claims. Between the sheets, she liked to call me her four times a night guy. Our record was six. Now he's just bragging.
Yeah, no kidding.
He also added, Heather has a very unusual erogenous zone.
Oh, no.
Her stump.
No!
Did he?
I used to massage one particular sensitive area of it.
Please stop.
Did he have sex with the stump?
And give her an orgasm.
Did he?
No, Ralph, no.
Did he have stump sex?
He doesn't mention whether he had stump sex or not, but I can't imagine how you would have stump sex with a woman unless you were the receiving end of
it.
Good point. You couldn't do that.
Kevin,
it's just not like
it.
A hole in it.
How do you know?
Because they seal it off.
Stump sex is... Nobody has Coachella.
In case you missed it, he said, she has a very unusual erogenous zone. Her stump, I used to massage one particular sensitive area of it and give her an orgasm.
Yeah.
Said Tim Steele.
That's his porno name, right? Tim Steele. It has to be.
It does not say what the line of work he's in currently. But
we haven't done amputee sex in a long time as
a
folk topic.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
Let's do stump sex
saying, tomorrow. No. It may be time to bring that one back now that we have this story.
Really not.
Really?
Come on. Yes!
Really?
Yes.
Is she a spinner if she's just got the one leg? Would that make that possible or no?
No, she's a hopper. A spinner is like a little girl, like a midget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Have we digested that?
No, that'll take a whole day.
Roy Scheider, star of Jaws, has passed away. He died yesterday at the age of 75. That's
glad he died before he had to hear that story, I'll tell you that.
Oh, come on. You're the guy who wants to talk more about it tomorrow.
Yes, he does, and I do as well.
What's wrong with you two?
Stump
I'm sorry
sex.
I did it.
You brought it up.
And poor Chris Berman from ESPN. This poor guy is getting just run roughshod. Or ridden roughshod, rather. He's all over the internet now. People keep posting. Suddenly, there's all this tape about him being an a-hole.
Where's
so
it's it all not been? Just that one that we heard?
That was the first. Now there's a slew of them. If you go to YouTube and type in Chris Berman, you see him with just a string of F-bombs, him just going off all over the studio.
Wow.
Another time, he's kind of hitting on this girl, talking about this bottle of wine he bought for her.
Nice.
Another time, he's schmoozing his producer, trying to get seats at some restaurant for his friends. And this, my greatest and latest video of Chris Berman, is him talking about how boring the Jets game was that he was doing for Monday Night Football at the time.
Oh, no.
It was so boring, he said, that he took some what he's calling duh-duh-duhs, which is 2-2-2s. They're a French-Canadian aspirin that's got codeine in them.
Ah.
And he said, you can't get them here in the States. You need a prescription for them. But he buys them in Canada and pops them to get high.
Okay.
And then he talks about how you can smuggle them in from Canada when you're up there and you can buy them for cheap.
So he's doing this on camera. He doesn't know the recording
or
whatever. Does
not know the camera is rolling and they're recording him.
Excellent.
Please enjoy Chris Berman and his dissertation on duh-duh-duhs.
You know what a duh-duh-duh is? It's Canadian aspirin with a little bit of codeine in it. You know, just enough to give you that pop. Two-two-twos, duh-duh-duhs. I mean, you buy it over the counter up there. You can't hear. It's like $10 up there, but it's like $100 prescription here. So you put it in all the corners of your suitcase. Do you have anything to declare? Oh, no. Eh? Duh-duh-duhs.
Yeah, duh-duh-duh indeed, Chris.
You are the coolest guy I have ever met.
I can't wait for Chris to go through customs next time he comes in from Canada. That's all I'm looking forward to. They're going to strip search his flabby ass without a doubt. By the way, I've just been informed that I did not give the answer to the trivia question last hour for the semi-pro
We ran out of time.
Red carpet premiere tickets. It was Mustafa was the name of the character he played in the Austin Power movies. Just want to give everyone a heads up who was complaining that we didn't give the answer. So there you go. Today's celebrity birthdays, Brandy, singer and actress, is 28 years old today. Sheryl Crow turns 45. Jennifer Aniston from Friends is 38. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park turns 30. Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child is 26 years old today. Burt Reynolds turns 72. Yeah. Tina Louise, the actress who played Ginger on Gilligan's Island, is 74 years old. I want to thank and yet not thank the listener who sent me the photo of what she looks like now.
Oh, no.
I saw that this week, yeah.
No. In my mind, she's Ginger.
And she needs to stay that way.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's done a better job than most of being invisible since her primetime TV show ended.
Yeah.
You don't
sure
see
not.
Her show up at very many things. And
not a good enough job.
She doesn't look awful for her age, right?
No.
She just doesn't look good compared to how hot she was in the 60s.
But Ginger, come on.
I know.
So hot.
And Leslie Nielsen, actor from Airplane and the Naked Gun movies and Police Squad on television. He is 82 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, first, the Kevin and Bean singles party, Love on the Rocks, this Thursday night. Hit it, Steve.
Love on the Rocks.
Kevin.
With Kevin and Bean. One guy is stupid.
Don't talk about me that
the
way.
The other's just mean.
Don't talk about me that way.
If you're down on your luck, then join us and someone new.
That's good advice.
Good advice. Right there. If you want to join us for the Kevin and Bean Love on the Rocks singles party, it's at On the Rocks, which is just above the Roxy on Sunset this Thursday night. 21 and up. We're looking for guys right now at 1-800-520-1067. And the theme of the discussion is bad Valentine's Days. In the past, maybe your Valentine's Day has sucked. We want to hear why, and then maybe we'll make this year's better by giving you tickets in.
All right. Let's begin with Daniel, 26 from Downey. Good morning, Daniel.
Oh, good morning. Kevin, Bean.
Hi there.
Hi, Daniel.
How's it going? Hi.
Tell us about your Valentine's Day. What happened?
Well, last year, my girlfriend started having seizures, so I was with her in the hospital during Valentine's Day. And then I had her phone on me, so then three other dudes left text messages talking about, you know, I miss you, whatever, love you, all that other stuff.
So she would. So her text would ring, whatever the alert was, and you'd look at it and go, "Ah, come on, who's Paul? Who's Jim?"
And then I called back one of them, and it was like a black guy. And then I called another one, and it was a white guy. So she had a nice variety of different men that she liked.
Yeah.
Wow.
The one thing they had in common, none of them were you, Daniel.
Exactly. She still wanted to stay with me, but I couldn't stay with her.
Yeah. I should think not.
Look, you don't want to be hanging out with a seizure-y girlfriend anyway. I mean, she did you a favor, right?
Can't tell if she's having a great time in bed or what. You don't know what's going on.
Exactly. I don't know. I'm terrible at picking the good guys. Lisa, what do you think about our pal Danny?
I like Daniel. He sounds nice.
Okay.
Bring a single guy friend. We'll see you Thursday night at On the Rocks, Kevin and Bean Singles Party. How about, interesting calls. Look at this. How about Al in Downey? He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Al, good morning. Bad Valentine's Day. What happened, dude?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Al.
I spent Valentine's evening bailing the girl I was dating out of jail.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
What is it that she did that got her thrown in jail?
She was actually pulled over for speeding and expired tags. They ran her information. They found out she had a felony warrant, which actually wasn't her because she had her identity stolen 6 months prior.
And you bought that?
No, I actually went and bailed her out of Orange County Jail.
Okay, good times. And then you have a candlelight dinner or anything? Or
just we actually ate Valentine's dinner at Carl's Jr. because she had been in prison all day and so had not had anything to eat.
Now,
it's funny. It's funny because we said bad Valentine's Day stories, but it sounds like that's the cheapest Valentine's Day you ever had, dude. What's the complaint here?
Well, I had to bail her out, so I had to pay Bail Bosman $1,000 for that.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
Okay,
yeah,
that's way more expensive than that.
I did get paid back, though.
I think I do like Al, though. That night. I do like Al, though, because he stood by his woman. He went down, bailed her out.
He did the right thing.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, was the sex way different after she'd done time in the joint? You know what I mean? Was it like a little rougher?
Oh, yeah. She wanted women afterwards. It was
great. Yeah.
I bet she did. All right, Al. We'll see you Thursday, my friend. Thank you for calling. All right. Let's talk to Paul in Westminster. He's on line 7. You know, we've had a good streak yesterday of various fluids coming out of various orifices in some of these stories that have been told. And I think Paul's going to keep our streak alive. Good morning, Paul.
I'm getting some sort of weird feedback here.
Oh, well, sorry about that, but do your best. Tell us what you
know. Anyways, so last Valentine's Day, I was down Main Street with my ex, and went down there, got some Mexican food, whatnot. On the way out, she decided to throw up all over the front of me.
Yes. Yes.
Make it even worse, when we got back to my car, it had been towed, so
yes,
we had to stand on Main Street for like 45 minutes waiting for a cab to go to the tow company.
That's so
but
sad.
But at least you were covered in vomit.
Oh yeah, it smelled great.
Good times. All right, I think Paul sounds fine.
Yeah,
you guys. All right, hang on, we'll let you in. Let's see here. Let's go. I don't want to get another throw up. Let's go to. Let's go to fight. Let's get fight on the air.
Okay,
Matt in Mission Viejo. Good morning.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Lisa May.
Hi, Matt.
Bad Valentine's Day. What happened?
Well, I, at the time, was dating this girl, and we needed to go kind of out of Orange County to go to a club to go dance. I bounce in clubs in Orange County.
Right.
And so we went down to San Diego and having a good time, having some drinks. My buddy DJ, so the drinks were free. I got out of dinner that night, so it was looking like a good evening. And a couple Marines go up to my girl at the time and start hitting on her. And I used to think it's funny, so I let him go. I bounced for a long time, so I'm not going to make any trouble. So I come up and get her. After a little while, they get real heated. They just let it go, guys. I walk away at the end of the night, closing out my cab. One of them comes over, sucker punches me. So I shoot in, I take him down, and I'm on top of him trying to calm him down, and security jumps on top of me. When they do, the Marine I was holding down decided to Mike Tyson my ear and bit off half my left ear.
He bit your ear? Dude, don't you know in times like these that you need to just give your chick up to the Marine? You don't try to get her back. That guy deserves her.
I know.
He let her go after that.
Yeah, wound up breaking up with her a few months later. So
at least it's worth it that you only have an ear and a half.
Oh, yeah, I'm still going through legal processes now over the trial.
Good times.
That's
good
fantastic.
Time.
Is your ear all still all gnarled and mangled and handicapped, like Chunk and Goonies?
Yeah, when you get an ear bitten off, there's nothing they can do for it. There's just half an ear. But I train with a bunch of guys from LA Boxing Jiu-Jitsu for MMA fights, and so I just kind of look the part with them.
It's kind of helpful.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, you're going to wear it down anyway doing MMA. You might as well just bite it off.
Exactly.
Hey, Matt, can you hear us okay?
See?
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
How do you do it?
even though you hate the U.S. military and don't give them what they've earned, I still vote yes.
The military.
Yeah. Oh, no, it sounds like it.
No, I like Matt a lot.
All right, I vote yes on him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Matt, we'll see you Thursday. We're out of time for on air, but we will continue to take some calls off the air. And, of course, tomorrow morning for guys and girls, too, we're going to have. So let me see. Tomorrow's Tuesday. We've got tickets tomorrow, tickets Wednesday, probably just a few on Thursday because the party is Thursday night. So you run out of time. The only way to win them is right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize today. It's a pair of tickets to Kat Von D's Musink Tattoo Festival. That's the Used Tiger Army, February 22nd, 23rd, 24th at the Orange County Fair and Expo Center. The suddenly very controversial Kat Von D. Let's start with Eddie in Canoga Park on line 8 and see what he knows about it. Eddie, good morning. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
What it do?
I guess when Kat left Miami Inc. because she got fired or whatnot, she sent the owner an autograph picture of herself with an anti-Semitic remark. It had to burn in hell, Jew banger on there with the swastika and the David Star. She's denying it. They even brought in a a writing expert thing that it was 99% chance it was her. Have you guys heard anything about it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I've seen the picture.
Yeah. What do you think, Ralph? Does it seem likely that she left that behind, or do you think she's being framed because the bad blood between those two when they split up?
How many shots did she supposedly have before she signed the photograph? That's what I need to know.
I don't
say. Sounds unlikely.
Yeah, it sounds unlikely to me. She seems like a pretty tolerant, sort of open-minded person.
She does.
Unless I was a Jew bag.
He was a Jew bag. You can't argue with that. Yeah. We will have Kat on the show on Tuesday. We'll be talking to her next Tuesday.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, we'll let you know. Thank you for the call very much, 1-800-520-1067. What about Dave in Long Beach? He's on line three here today, talking about something that's unbelievable that you got to see to believe.
It really is. Dave, good morning.
Hey guys. Yeah, totally unbelievable, totally gross, too. NHL update, though. Zendik, forward for the Panthers in Buffalo this weekend, his teammate was uplifted by another dude and clipped him in the neck, severing an artery. Almost got his jugular. Blood all over the ice.
His ice skate. His own teammate's ice skate.
Yeah.
Kicked him in the throat.
Kicked him right, and the guy was standing up. He wasn't on the ice or anything, but his teammate is... right across the throat.
They were doing the Iron Lotus. That was the maneuver from Blades of Glory. That's what it was. They tried the Iron Lotus, and you don't screw around like that. Without Craig T. Nelson coaching
it. Everywhere.
There was blood everywhere. And I want some kind of an investigation into the announcers, because one of the announcers said, I've never seen that much blood. And the other one said, I haven't, unfortunately.
Sadly, I have.
I was like, right? Where have you seen that, dude?
Someone look for his wife.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's you can look for that story online. It's pretty gross.
It took them 15 minutes just to clean the blood up off the ice.
Yeah.
They had to stop the game.
Yeah.
Well, the game's got to go on, man.
Yeah, you're right.
You know why?
Yeah.
Hockey. Football would have canceled the whole season.
Oh, please.
Thank you for the call.
I was wondering,
hockey,
Ralph, if
the football player, the blade would have bounced off his neck.
Yeah, sure.
Because football players are that tough. They're I get my head chopped off.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, weak.
John is in Costa Mesa on line four, Kevin and Bean Show. What it do, nephew? Thanks for calling, John.
Hey, what it do?
What's going on?
So, walked into a public restroom down here at one of the parks. And I got a call for a backup drain. Flowing out of the toilet is a heaping pile of crap.
No,
that's not the best part. The best part is the fact that smeared across the walls is crap, and somebody took their finger, looked like, and wrote, I need PP across the wall. I'm out of toilet paper.
Why did we take this call
again? What's Bean? Bean went right to it.
Yeah. Why does Bean need that?
Bean is drawn to the poop humor like no one I've ever seen.
I hate the poop humor.
Oh, that's right.
Why did you go?
That's why you forced us to go there.
Because it's unbelievable that that happened, that a guy whose protest of not having enough toilet paper in the restroom would write it on the walls. You know what I'm saying?
Tapped his foot?
That happened. That just happened.
That did happen.
I don't like you.
I don't like that either. I don't like that. I don't like you.
No. Bad.
Now what? Now where do we go? I mean, how do we get that taste out of our mouths?
I don't think we can.
All right,
maybe we just get a beer mug.
Well, that was ugly.
Yeah. All right,
happy Monday.
Well, hey, all right,
good luck, everybody. Enjoy your day.
I want to thank our guest, George Spielvogel, for joining us today. He is the producer of Point Break Live, which is going on right now at the Alexandria Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Ralph, you weren't in here for this, but this sounds so like something that you would love. Point Break Live. Sounds like something you would really do.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yes.
You can go to pointbreaklive.com to get information on how to see the movie turned into a stage show where you, the audience, get to play the Keanu Reeves part, which I think is awesome. And I want to thank the very beautiful and lovely Tina Guo for joining us today. She was in the orchestra with the Foo Fighters last night on the Grammys. So that was cool. How about tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show?
Tomorrow morning we have iTunes, 106.7 free songs. We'll give that away tomorrow.
Great.
We also have tickets for the Kevin and Bean Love on the Rock singles party, which of course is Thursday night. So we're running out of time to give those away. We'll do that tomorrow morning. And we have K-Rock's World Tour, destination number 6, Panic at the Disco in Zurich. We will continue and hopefully ask a dominatrix.
Oh, fantastic.
Balls.
Do we have time in our remaining moments for the new Valentine's Day song?
Oh, maybe we do. Yeah. Well, it depends.
I'm looking at the clock.
Are you going to add in the time it takes Psycho Mike to find it?
Yeah. Or just a couple hours there for that to happen.
He does need quite the heads up.
He's not fast, is what we're saying.
While we're waiting, Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Weezer, also Vampire Weekend, their new one. We got 30 Seconds to Mars. Anytime, Mike, you can just hit that old button. We got Sublime, Incubus, and more straight ahead. First, though, in honor of the holiday this week, a little musical enjoyment for you on K-Rock.
Valentine's Day. Cholo things are gonna happen.
It's a pretty clean holiday.
Eyebrow pencil.
Dodgers.
Valentine's spooks outside my window. Valentine's spooks behind the Chevy. I wish those cholos could see that my hyena's hair is real crunchy, cause it's Valentine's spooks outside my window pane.
That's right, fool. Recognize, like, the slow jams. Maybe go swimming in my jeans, eh? Like, tip back that Bacardi, get loco, eh? That's right, Aina. I like your lip liner. Look at your blouse. It's clean with the black bra, Aina.
Valentine's Day, bitch. Valentine's spooks outside my window. Valentine's spooks behind the Chevy.
So, John, you're saying that he wrote on the wall.